Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Come to Air Temple Island, your new home.
I'm the Avatar. You gotta chill with it.
You're the Avatar, and I'm an idiot.
You're a firebender. Boil it yourself.
Go away, Mako.
Don't worry. I will protect you, my feeble turtle duck.
I will make no such promises.
Bolin's got some moves, huh?
You amuse me. I will make you mine.
You shall meet again soon, beautiful woman.
I can't wait to get started. Yes! Finally!
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar the Last Airbender and the Legend of Korra podcast for DongBuFang.net. If you want extensive discussion on Korra from longtime fans of Avatar, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Mel.
Hello.
Sam.
Hi, I guess.
Jeff.
Hello.
And Delaney.
Hello.
And today we'll be discussing Beginnings. Hooray, both parts. Woo! That are tonight on Nick.
Two-parter.
Wow, is this actually going to be 90 minutes?
No, this will almost certainly go over 2 hours. There's a lot to discuss. This is a big episode. Very excited. It was very good. We're going to talk about all angles of it.
And fangirl.
And
everywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And fangirl and fanboy and fan everything. And yeah. If this is your first time listening, this is a podcast for both big and casual fans of Korra and Avatar. Podcast will be up by around 1 a.m. on Fridays. You can email us at dylan@dongbufang.net and post on the forums, discuss this episode, discuss this podcast, dongbufang.net/forums. Our podcast website is dongbufang.net/podcast, and our Tumblr and Twitter are at dongbufang, D-O-N-G-B-U-F-E-N-G, no spaces. We're going to get right into this, go quickly through the news, because we really want to discuss this episode. Korra rebounded in the ratings last week with 1.951 million viewers. It's not quite up to where it was a few weeks ago. But this was because Korra's Time's lead-in changed back to SpongeBob from Sanjay and Craig. More people watching Nickelodeon going into Korra, more people watch Korra. So why Nickelodeon didn't have a SpongeBob lead-in the week before, I don't know, but this week it also did not have a SpongeBob lead-in. So despite the fact that this is a huge episode, maybe more people will be watching than normal, I'd still expect ratings to go down next week, which isn't good. But Nickelodeon's ratings really, really bad all around. Nothing is getting there are very few shows getting 3 million, almost nothing. It's not good, but it's not just Korra, and we shouldn't really worry that much. There'll be no new episode of Korra next week. November 1st will be The Guide, which we haven't gotten a description yet, but we'll probably get it, like, tomorrow or Monday. The TV listings are, like, that day before it right now, so we'll get one soon. There'll be no episode next week, but we will have a podcast on something, to be determined.
Something.
Yes, we'll see. So.
Dylan's mom.
That was just uncalled for. Oh, the New York Comic Con panel last week. They showed They showed Beginnings Part 1. They showed a script and a scene from what episode was it? 210, but I forget what that's called. It's A New Spiritual Age, yeah, and it was with Korra and Jinora. So basically Korra and Jinora going to Spirit World in 210. So we have an episode in between now and then. Mike wasn't at the panel. Brian, Joaquin, and PJ interviewed with IGN. Brian said that they are still on post-production for the last three episodes of this book. They are just starting post-production on some of book three, and hope to get book three out, unquote, as soon as we can next year. So, that's the latest on book three.
January 1st, midnight.
Seems unlikely.
December 25th of 2014.
Yeah.
Why would it air on Christmas?
I realized that was Christmas after I was saying it. I was going for a late day in December, but I didn't know if December was a 30-month or 31-month.
30 days have September, 31. April, June, and November, so it's 31. Anyway,
Mel just loves Christmas.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
It's a great time of year.
We gotta get in the beginnings. I would expect probably fall next year. We'll see, though. Let's get into Beginnings. We're gonna go episode by episode.
Let's begin.
But when we're giving initial impressions, we're just gonna probably talk about, like, general impressions of both episodes. Clearly, the episodes are meant to go together, but they are have different writing and directing credits. So it's not like they're just one part broken into two. They really are two separate episodes. The first part was written by Mike and directed by Colin Heck, and the second part was written by Tim Hedrick and directed by Ian Graham. Both were animated by Studio Mir. Hooray!
And it was beautiful.
It really was beautiful. Let's go around the horn. Give me your overall impressions of both parts of the beginning, and if you found a distinction between the two, you can mention which one you liked more and why. How does this rank compared to other Core episodes? What did you specifically like? Let's start with Mel.
That was a lot of criteria.
Yes.
I mean, it's difficult because with these flashback background episodes, it's kind of, you have to rank it differently than a regular episode, I feel, because it functions differently. I did like the second half better than the first, just because the first, the pacing was way weird. The dialogue was more awful in the first one, and there was just a lot of things happening in the first one. But it kept my interest more than other Core episodes, but I think that's only because of the content, not necessarily because it was super duper well executed. And not to say that it wasn't, it's just, you know, it happened. Is my response to that. Yeah.
Okay, that was great.
I mean, it's difficult because
there's
flashback episodes, and that's difficult to determine compared to, say, the most previous episode where actual plot things are happening in real time.
We don't need to compare it, though, like, just overall. But overall, you did like it.
Yes.
Okay.
I like the second one better than the first.
Yes. Okay. Jeff, what did you think?
I would mirror that. I like second better than first. I was really excited watching this, though, because, like, there's this motif that I sort of got attached to in Battlestar Galactica. It's like, all this has happened before, and all of it will happen again. That, if you ever watch that, you know that comes up. So, it just seems like, ooh, this is coming back. Like, everything's happening in this flashback is going to come back in the present, and I'm just wondering how it's all going to work together. By the very end of the episode, though, it seemed like there wasn't going to be as much thematic connection, as much just causal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, the animation, absolutely gorgeous. My favorite scene was Juan training next to the volcano, for sure. Good play on red and blues there. So, good stuff. Yeah. Excited. I like this episode.
Cool. Sam, what do you think?
Everybody listening is going to hate me because I didn't really care.
Well, didn't care is different than didn't like.
Yeah, I get. Like, my heart just wasn't really in it today. Like, I thought the episodes were good, I get. Like, they were fun to watch, but, like, there weren't really any stakes because it's a flashback where, you know, things turn out the way they do. Except for the 10,000-year thingy that we'll get to later, I suppose. The animation was really great. I really like the fire animation. It's very, like, reminiscent of stuff like Okami, or just, like, that, you know, the Japanese sort of painting stuff. I like that Steve Young was in it. I like Steve Young, Walking Dead guy, so I like him. I thought they were good, I guess. I just didn't, my heart wasn't in it today.
Okay. I definitely think that no stakes thing is valid. We'll get into whether it mattered or not. I don't know. I think it's person to person.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like I could care too much about what was going on with the characters because I didn't really feel too connected to them, you know?
Yeah, I think that's definitely legitimate.
Whereas, like, in the Avatar and the Fire Lord, like, I felt, like, we, like, knew Roku before that, and so, you know, I felt like I did care, but that's
yeah, so it's two parts. One, we know what happens already. Two, we're introduced, Juan is a completely new character, so why should we care about him?
But then again, he's Steve Young, so.
Yeah, so there's inherent.
Oh, wait, we'll get to it, never mind. Okay.
Delaney, what do you think?
I loved this episode, like, a lot. Well, I just say the episode as in both parts. I've agreed with pretty much everything that everyone said so far, although I, like, what Sam was talking about, like, not caring, I felt the opposite, though that doesn't, like, make Sam's, like, feelings, like
I don't care
wrong
about
or anything. It's just,
I care about nothing.
This is not true.
I was impressed really with how attached I actually became to Juan, like, just watching, like, because I feel like we saw him grow in 42 minutes, which was really impressive considering we haven't seen any growth with Core in 1.5 seasons. But I mean, I loved Juan. I loved like kind of what Jeff was talking about, the motifs, like the parallels to Avatar, and like the motifs of it, everything comes full circle, and like the cycles, like that really was what I loved so much about these episodes. It's just, there was just so much underlying like story in it, and it was just, and I think it really just, it was like all three seasons of Avatar like in a ball of feels in 2 episodes, and it was just really overwhelming, and I just loved every minute of it.
Yeah, Beginnings was really good, first of all. The bad part is that the first part, like the first episode, was very underwritten and poorly executed in terms of the writing at some points, but it was still probably the best episode this season. And then the second episode came, and that was by far the best episode of Korra. It was really, really good. This is Avatar executing a creation myth, and it's so interesting. As someone who's looked, I mean, I'm not like super into mythology, but I've taken a few mythology classes. It's just, it's so cool to see Korra doing this. It was very well executed. The animation, I should have started out with that. It's maybe the best we've ever seen from Avatar Korra. It's got to be up there for some of the best animation in American history, I think. It's just phenomenal. Like, I mean, it looks amazing. I agree with Sam. The fire was incredible. All the elements looked great. Playing with colors that they did, especially when like the spirits become evil in the second act of the second episode, it just looks incredible. Really in love with the second part of Beginnings. Tim Hedrick is back with a vengeance. Like, incredible, very well written. It's really hard to pull off this type of episode, and I think they did in the second part, and the first part was good enough. So that's good. Mike was just good enough, I think. But yeah, really loved it. I think on the negative side, they maybe retconned things we saw in the first series, which is not.
Oh my god, I hate it. I hate all the records.
Yeah, so we'll see if they actually did that. They leave it like open enough that we can try.
We should define that term.
Yeah, okay, retcon is like going back and changing previously established things in the Avatar canon. But not specifically the Avatar canon is what retcon means. That's just what I'm saying here. So like
you can retcon anything.
Monsters University. They did it at Monsters University.
That was like a very minor line.
Though. Well, yeah. Here's an example. It was mentioned in the original Monsters Inc. that Sully and Mike knew each other since I think it was the 4th grade. But in Monsters University they met in college.
Yeah. So they changed one line. But this is different because they changed entire histories of how people
learn. They tried to do the movie.
Okay, I understand.
I'm just giving an example. We're saying
they retconned is people learn the elements from animals, and then that waterbends learn it from the moon spirit and the ocean spirit, and that seems to not be true here, but it's a little
confusing. I didn't even think about that. Now I'm kind of upset.
Yeah,
oh,
so...
it just made me so unhappy.
Wait! They stopped giving the elements to them, so maybe that's what happened
yes,
later.
Yes.
We'll like, maybe, yeah. But I doubt it.
So, at the very least, humans interacted with bending... probably previously to learning them from the animals, unless humans learned them from the animals and the moon spirit, and then the lion turtle took them away, and then it gave them to them again at the end. But that seems very weird. So those are really the 2 explanations I can think of. And we'll get
It's really awkward that they were like, we're not going to give you bending anymore. Like, that was really awkward.
Yeah, but then they say we're not going to give you bending anymore, and the next picture we see is... people fighting with bending. It's a little...
Well, maybe they didn't take it away from
the people
who
already...
I mean, it's like genetic. Yeah, it just keeps getting passed
on. Only
those firebenders we saw had bending, right?
No, they showed... No, because different lion turtles doled out different bending abilities. Because
yeah, but they
different...
always took it away, though, right?
What they're saying here when they said, oh, we're not going to give it to you... Like, the airbenders, they didn't have it taken away. They were using it left and right. So, I think the idea is that they didn't take it away. They just said, you're not getting it anymore.
Did we see the airbenders use it inside the city, though? I don't remember.
I think we did see them actually getting it taken away.
Yeah, so, like, they used it outside. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
I definitely agree with Mal. I think that what he meant was, like, we're not going to be this bender giver anymore.
Yeah.
You just have it.
Yeah, okay. It's at the very least it's confusing, which is maybe a flaw, but the thing with these origin stories and creation stories is that they're always ambiguous, always with these general themes.
Because that's kind of the point.
It is kind of the point, but that's more of like, it seems weird and dumb that we have this like light spirit and this dark spirit. Like, that doesn't happen in real life, but it's a creation story. Like, if you've been exposed to those before, this is exactly what happens in most of them.
Like, yeah. Like, are there flying sky bison in real life? Like,
yes.
Good point.
There might be.
There might
be. Don't know.
And I think a really interesting question, actually, is everything we see in this episode myth, or is it history? Like, it's maybe a little unclear. Like, Korra's learning it as history.
It is different animation style,
it's
after
like,
all.
It's, it could... A way to interpret it is that this is just all a myth. And, like, what we learned from the show, that people got the elements from the animals and then the moon spirit, is that's what actually happened, but this is the myth behind it, which would be
I'm inclined to believe the opposite, actually.
Yeah, that's actually what I was about to say, Jeff. Yeah, I think it's the opposite.
So, I think... It depends what, like, is
I mean,
the
that
Avatar
doesn't, like, change,
spirit
like,
a
how
reliable
it is,
source,
but...
you know?
Yeah.
It could be the opposite, too. So, but either way, like, we're trying to explain something, right? We're just trying to explain the gap here. I don't know if Mike and Brian have thought of this. I'm sure that this is, like, Mike and Brian oftentimes don't think of in-depth things, but this they had to have thought of. This is pretty basic.
Well, it's a creation story. I mean, the whole point is that you have to really think about it. And despite, like, what we've been talking about, its flaws, like, this is a really great creation story, especially considering it was a 42-minute creation story. And you were talking about how you're not, like, the biggest mythology fan. I'm, like, the biggest mythology fan, and, like, it struck me as very impressive that they were able to do this in 42 minutes, and it's, like, completely believable, even if they're retconning stuff from before.
So, certainly, given the time constraints, it was good. I don't know if you compare it to, like, specific creation myths, if it holds up. Like, it's not... At times, it's very general, certainly in the first episode.
Well, can you really... You can't really compare creation myths. It's more of, like, how they make you feel, because that's kind of the whole point of creation.
I definitely agree with that. I'm not...
Creation myths are usually general, though, too. They're not... They don't go into specifics.
Yeah,
that's
one of my points, yeah. So, this is... pretty clearly trying to be an origin story.
Well, I think it's funny that, like, you know, in our world, like, how we've gotten these myths is from the beginning they're passed on orally, so it's being passed through the avatars from memory.
Yeah,
like, how cool is
that? That is pretty interesting, yeah.
So, that just struck
me. As opposed to, like, the people learning bending, some of that's maybe passed down and rewritten.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, let's start getting to some specifics. I should say I'm a little overwhelmed with some of the stuff in the second episode. I hope we have all our details down, but there's a lot of stuff and some of it's unclear. But in the first episode, we're probably good. Only one A-plot this episode, no B or C-plot, it's just one. And we start off with Serena Williams is back.
I was right.
Yeah, Sam was right.
tennis ball goes flying through the scene.
Yeah, so it should be noted that me... And I don't know if anyone else watched it, but I saw the episode early because someone recorded it at Comic-Con. So we've had time. Like, the episode is out there, so we're, like, figuring out if it's Serena Williams and stuff. And we have had time to digest this one a little more than the other one. Serena Williams, the tennis player, did a voice in Day of Black Sun Part 1. The Fire Nation guard that brought stuff to Iroh. And here she is as another Fire Nation person, but this time a Fire Sage.
I completely, like, mentioned that last...
Probably not the same person, no. She's not the old lady, though, who's talking
about headcanon, she is daughter. It's her daughter.
Yeah, it could be her daughter. She's now a Fire Sage.
Great.
Anyway,
I mentioned Serena Williams, and there she is.
And seemingly the old lady is not Azula, by the way.
She's just some old lady.
She's just some crazy old lady, okay.
Yeah,
well, not crazy, she's just some...
Yeah, so she's just a lady. And healing waters. She does, like, weird firebending healing.
If I hear one more person... So water has special healing properties.
Obviously, all water can heal. I don't know what you're talking about.
And fire,
can heal because, you know, healing.
In this episode, it happens later. But.
Yeah, it does. But is like, Fire Lady, she has a name in the credits. I forget what her name is.
I thought they were going to drown Korra.
Okay.
Drunk in her own element.
Did you actually think they were going
to
drown?
I actually thought that they were going to until they, like, stopped that, like, her face so
Why?
She could breathe.
Anyway, our old lady's name in the credits is Shaman, so that's good.
No, that's not a name. That's
very
a name.
Fitting.
It's yeah. Title.
She, Fire Lady. Is she like, healing with this? With the fire.
So,
with the fire, not the water.
Yeah, no, okay. I don't know. Like, with this fire, I think, A, it's kind of cool that they're inventing this new... ability of fire, although it might not be cool. I don't know, because it's just made up. I don't have any context to it. Don't know what it does. B, I think it would have been cooler if this temple was actually staffed by spiritual people from all four nations, and they had a water healer do that.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's cool that they did that because, like, because fire is always destruction. Like, the firebenders always kill somebody, so I think it was nice. I don't know necessarily if they were, like, healing her, but maybe it was more of, like, a gauging thing. Like what Katara does a lot, where, like, what's going on here? Is your spleen messed up? I don't know, so maybe that's what she was doing, like.
I'd like to see this expanded upon, fire healing. We didn't see much of it. And then we have special healing.
That's weird, because it kind of, like, goes against the, like, nature of fire. Fire, like, destroys. It doesn't
That's what the cool part is.
Yeah, we will see. Korra...
We get super philosophical, though, and point out that, like, during forest fires, it's actually a rejuvenation for the forest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And fire is life, so.
Fire represents your life.
Well, that was a big thing for me, that we started the story with the element of fire, and that, like, he was the one trying to save people, and he's a firebender.
Quoting Survivor here, by the way. Anyway, Korra talks to Aang, Roku, Kyoshi, and Kurik. In order to remember, you must regain, I think I'm trying to say, your connection with your avatar spirits.
Yeah, so he's, like, infected by some dark spirit that I wish they would have been...
Yes, they don't actually say this. I think Toon Gal messaged us saying that, she's like, Korra's amnesia is being caused by the dark spirit infecting her. I don't know if that's clear, but it makes sense, I guess. I don't know.
Well, she got eaten by a spirit, so, I mean, clearly there was some stuff going on.
They don't really explicitly
say it. Her soul.
Which is fine. I don't...
There's definitely some confusion.
I just don't like that they ended the last episode with the amnesia cliffhanger, if it doesn't really matter them. I mean, it matters because it's the basis for this episode, but it actually doesn't matter.
It was a plot device.
Certainly. Essentially, and I think it was probably poorly executed.
It could have been a coma, and it would have been just as fine.
Yeah, yes. It's like the same thing.
I want to say that I like how Kyoshi was like, if you don't do this, then you'll die. Like, that's so cute.
Yeah, it is so cute.
She's like, you need to do this and meditate on that. She's like, you're gonna die.
Kyoshi's very dramatic, yeah.
We love Kyoshi, like, though.
So, Kyoshi. And then Korra is told to find Rava. You know, why can't they just tell Korra who Rava is? Like, they know. Like, they're Rava.
Because it has to be fun for the episode, because we're like, who the heck's Rava?
Not only do they know who Rava is, they are Rava. So, you know, they could just tell her that, anyway.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. Juan steals from the Chu brothers.
Maybe it's like an avatar hazing thing, like, they don't know.
We don't encourage avatar hazing. That's not nice. Anyway, Juan, is this Juan's brother, for sure? Or is this just some dude?
I don't know. You totally skipped how Juan was Aladdin's brother.
Juan is not. Why is Juan Aladdin?
Because he's like doing all the stuff.
He's one jump ahead of the bread line.
Well, if he's this old guy, they're just chilling with.
He's a crazy old guy.
They don't have to be all related.
Yeah, and then there's Spirit Wild.
He's a tree. He's
okay.
Tree.
That was so cool. That was so cool because it was, like, totally took me back to this anime called Origin: Spirits of the Past. It's like it's just a film, but it has a guy, an old guy, as a tree, and it's awesome.
He's the tree, great.
Nice.
They're going on the hunt, and then in order to go on the hunt, they get fire from the lion turtle. So let's discuss this basic concept of the lion turtle. At this time, we only think it's one, giving out elements, or giving out bending powers.
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
It's dumb.
Expand.
I don't know, because I feel that's just too, like, easy, like, hey... Here's bending, why don't you go hunt for food and come back? Like, I just don't like it. Like, I like the animal origin stories better. Like, it was more fun. This isn't fun, this is just, hey, here's firebending.
I kind of like this in terms of this episode. In terms of this being a mythology, like, even if this isn't a myth in the context of the Avatar world, it's a myth to us. Like, it's based on previous myths, it's established as a myth, it has different animation. Myths don't really make sense at times, most times. Especially
because they're meant to explain the unexplained, and if you don't understand something, that's why you need something to explain it.
Especially creation myths. So, the lion turtle is a device that I hated from the first series that never made sense. But they're actually using it in a context where things aren't supposed to make sense, if that makes any sense.
But yo, what happened to, like, the spirit bending, like, bending the, like, the light or spirit, whatever?
I'm, like, very surprised they didn't mention the word spirit.
That's my only problem with it, because it kind of takes away, like, how, like, important it was that Aang had to learn, like, because it made it seem really difficult that you're, like, fighting, like, the whole spirit nonsense, the fireworks we saw at the end of the season 3.
Yeah.
Like, that's my only problem with it, and I didn't even realize that until Sam was, like, complaining about the fact that the lion turtle did all this. Turtles.
I do want to say, I like how the lion turtles have eyelashes.
Yes.
Yeah,
they caught me off guard every time.
I like how that's what we get from this. Anyway, expanding on my point from before, I agree that getting bending from the animals slash the moon makes more logical sense.
Slash the moon.
So you always have to say that every time.
The moon's not an animal. I mean, yeah,
Yeah, so I like that the myth isn't the logical one. Like, I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spirit Wilds, the Hunts, Fire Turtles. Okay, and the Lion Turtles. So, cities are on the Lion Turtles' back, something I didn't pick up on the first time I watched the episode, because it was like...
How?
It was bad quality, so you didn't really see what was happening.
I thought you meant tonight.
No. Like, from the video.
I know what you mean now.
They're guardians of the city. So seemingly humans only live on Lion Turtles, and
they protect humans. Like, that's their purpose. That's what they
why
like.
Are Lion Turtles protecting humans?
Because they're not them!
That's a myth.
Because they can't.
Yeah, but, like, why?
Because they're nice.
Okay, well, this kind of ties into what you know how Rava, I don't know if it was part one or part two, I apologize, but she goes, ancient one. She's the spirit of, good and evil, and she goes, ancient one. So how old are these Lion Turtles that Rava, who has been around since, what we would think the beginning of time, I think that's what she said, we've been fighting since the beginning of time. She calls this Lion Turtle ancient one.
How are you
one.
More ancient than the beginning of time?
Maybe the Lion Turtles are the gods.
I bet you there was just like, dinosaurs. Oh, hey, like, they're in the old ancient buddy club.
Yeah. No, I feel like there's a reason.
That's part two, by the way. But yeah, okay, it's still unclear if Lion Turtles are what relation they have to spirits. It'd be interesting if they said Lion Turtles created the people. Like, then that would start to make sense. That's why they're protecting the people and they have cities. But they don't say that. Also, who created Lion Turtles? I mean, then we're getting into, like, who created everything. But
Big Bang.
Who was first, the spirits or the people? The physical world or the spiritual world.
The Lion Turtle or...
The Lion Turtle
this is not meant to answer those.
Yeah, we're not... We don't pick up from the very beginning. That's why it's not purely a creation myth, though. Creation myths generally, like, have some form of explanation of what happened, even though it's really general and doesn't make any sense, of what happened at the very beginning. And this we pick up at a certain point very clearly here. One keeps his fire... So this is, Brian was kind of talking about this in the IGN interview I referenced earlier. It's like, we wanted to make Juan a trickster, who, like, steals the elements from...
He is a trickster.
Yeah, so he's, like, there's always, like, a trickster god, like Loki, in mythology, and, like, Juan's, like, based on that model.
I like it.
Can we talk about Juan's hair?
I love it.
Sure, what about Juan's hair?
How does it do it?
It defies gravity, just like how Zuko's hair didn't make any sense in the first season. I had the whole theory behind it, like, people's hair and Mako's hair doesn't make sense.
I know what we're ending on now.
Okay, well, not yet. The Juan's very... I found Juan to be a more sympathetic Zuko. You know, like, fires his first element, his hair...
It's like Aang and Zuko had a baby.
I mean, he was banished, so...
He's like... Yes. Yeah, anyway. He's also like, more charismatic like Aang and Zuko together. They put on masks and go to protest the Chews. Yeah, that's right.
Beat them up.
They take the food, they fight them, we get some great animation. I guess, like, there's so much stuff packed into part two that why are we focusing on the Chews here? They're trying to, it's interesting, are they trying to make, socioeconomic points here? Like, they don't really make any points, though, other than kind of Robin Hood. I don't know. It was a little bit just didn't, like, have any impact,
yeah, that plot was kind of dropped halfway.
Yeah.
That plot was kind of dropped halfway through the episode, the whole sort of, I guess, socioeconomic, like, oh, they have the power, and we need to have power, and we rely on them for food, and it seemed like it was going to be a thing, and then it just kind of disappeared.
I felt like it had to do with Juan growing up. Like, that was my big thing, like, because I felt like Juan had a lot of growth in these 42 minutes that we watched, and I feel like that was part of it, like, his growth, I don't know. That's the only thing I got out of it.
Like, as soon as he realizes he can leave the town, then the attention leaves the town, and sort of the plot.
Plot just leaves.
I like that.
Plot needs main character.
So, a question I have is, why is the Lion Turtle okay with the Chews ruling the city?
What is the Lion Turtle gonna do? Like, flip them off.
The episode presented it as them handing out, like, dual punishments. Like, they decided on it mutually, Juan's fate.
Okay, fair enough.
So I don't know why the Lion Turtle likes the Chews, I guess.
Well, maybe he's more like protecting mankind, and he feels like they need a ruler to like keep them in line. And like the lion turtle that has the air nomads is just like the crazy, like no one likes lion turtle. I don't know. Something
maybe
like
he's
that.
Like Superman and doesn't meddle in lowly human stuff.
Yeah, like they just want to protect them, but they don't do anything really other than that.
Yeah.
Brain blast. Hold on.
Like they don't have to be happy; they just have to be alive.
I have a thing to say.
Okay.
I remember when I was in like 11th grade, I'd do a project about a Native American myth, and mine was about how the earth is like a turtle, and lion turtles, and so it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
So it's interesting, because they're not actually saying the earth is like a lion turtle, though. Like, the earth is... The lion turtles are, like, very clearly on the earth.
Like, well, yes, but... Yeah. Remember how Juan was saying, I didn't even know there are other lion turtle cities?
Yeah, so in Juan's point of view, interesting, yes.
It's kind of like their earth.
Yeah,
like
I kind of like that. Yeah, it's probably... Those concepts are maybe based on other myths. Other myths. Like, Avatar is a legitimate myth now.
It is.
Yeah,
it's official.
So Juan keeps his fire and is banished, and then we get him doing a lot of spirit stuff in the spirit wilds, like eating a thing that turns into bees, and being his flytrap, and stuff like that.
Life just, it's terrible.
And a froggy that Joe's giant. And it's like, I like that we have time to breathe and start to see the spirit wilds here. But again, this is some stuff that is maybe less effective.
Well, it's very reminiscent of just like Aang and like the wandering around in the spirit world all the time.
Yeah, I did like that, yeah. Then we get to the Oasis, and... I keep forgetting this guy's name.
I swear to God, I thought he was the monkey.
Jason Marsden.
I thought he was like a cross between Momo and the guy, the bad guy from the latest Zelda game.
Bad guy.
I could see that.
I don't even remember. But yeah, he was an interesting character because he never says his name. In the credits, he's called Ai. He's voiced by.
What's the type of animal he is? It's not even.
I feel like he's something lemur. I don't know.
He could be. I mean, it's not clear. He's credited.
Yeah,
as...
I is an animal.
His name could be Ai though. Oh no! But,
no, an Ai is an animal.
So you're saying that when they say spirit Ai, they're describing spirit is what he is, and also he's an Ai. So
like it's a spirit.
He's a spirit Ai. Like,
it's like a Pokemon.
So why
like
doesn't?
And I'm gonna give you a picture. Because the Ai looks exactly like him. Like, it's not, he's not blended with anything. Like, that's literally what an Ai looks like, except for the fact that he's on two legs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That is
a very ugly looking animal. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's not the Ai that we saw.
But yeah, he's like an important figure. He's significant to the plot. He doesn't get a name. It's very interesting. He's also voiced by Jason Marsden, who voices Haku in Spirited Away. Everyone's, like, all big on, like, there's so many Spirited Away parallels. There's so many Princess Mononoke parallels. I saw a, a Laputa parallel. Like, I think they're, like, they're but they're not, like, a big deal, I think.
This whole scene reminded me of Spirited Away.
It's the feel is there, but I don't know if it's like, oh, we're paying homage to Spirited Away specifically with any scene. Maybe I'm wrong, but that was my impression. So this guy, he's funny, kind of takes away from the epicness of the episode, maybe.
Like, if Sokka was a spirit, this would be him. Except Sokka wasn't as funny sometimes.
Sokka wasn't like, as funny.
Well, like, he'd make, like, terrible jokes, yeah. Like, that was kind of the whole point, that his humor was terrible.
Yeah, I guess. So there's, like, a spirit parade, he tries to join in as Bushi, the bush spirit,
That was the best. That goes up there with, like, Mr. Pippin Paddle Opsgalopoulos, like, that was just great.
Opsgalopoulos III.
Pretty impressed that you remembered that. Yeah, that name.
Pippin Paddle Opsgalopoulos. Nice to meet you.
This is like the most minor thing from the fifth episode of Avatar.
But like the Avatar disguises, like it's a thing that everyone has disguises. Yeah. It's a thing.
So why are the spirits just like parading around this oasis?
I don't know. They just want to have fun.
Yeah, it's like their clothes.
Why is this fun?
Also, I love the baby voiced spirits.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. I really like how kids voice some of them.
Yeah,
it's adorable.
I don't understand, but yeah.
You don't have a soul.
I didn't say I didn't like it, I just don't really...
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, okay. Juan wants to go live in another city, there's the other lion turtles, he's like, whoa, there's dozens of them, apparently.
Humans are so stupid.
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty good. And then Juan saves Mula, cat deer, fights the guys from
Red
the city.
Elk. Wink.
And then, one of my big criticisms of this part one is that it's very on the nose. It's like, okay, this happens, and we're going to see this come up again here. We see Juan venture into the spirit world. He learns things. 2 minutes later, he uses those to his advantage, right, with these fighting these people. And also, there's this lines of power. I don't remember what specifically they were, but they were pretty on the nose, very much. This is the theme.
I thought the dialogue in these two episodes were kind of weak. Was kind of weak.
I think, especially in part one.
Part one, it was like super weak. Like what his friend said to him in the cabin. I was like, what? No one actually says that.
Yeah, and again,
this
is
just one of your ploys to get more power.
Not that bad. Exactly. Not that bad. But it is a creation myth. But it seems in part one, it slows down, so it's less excusable. It's interesting. It because it's a creation myth. I think we it should go faster, as opposed to us criticizing the pacing previously. I don't know. Maybe we'll expand on that later. Spirit.
I feel like a point should be made about how many times they say human in this episode. They've never said human before, ever.
We need to fact check that, but yeah.
No, yeah, they said human a bunch.
Like, they said human every 5 minutes.
I understand
never
that they
said
say
human,
but they actually never human said human before. I'm not sure about that.
Well, like, in current Avatar world, like, everyone's human, so the word...
Pretty sure Wan Chi Tong said the word human.
Yeah, I think Wan Chi Tong probably did say.
They are human.
You humans are all the same. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's like one time, because I couldn't remember that off the top of my head, and I was just like, they say human every 5 minutes, and I don't remember ever watching, like, well, I've seen that episode,
it is
but, like,
little,
they don't
it is,
say it a lot.
Yeah, it is a little glaring.
Well, I mean, it's totally obvious why.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because there's a difference.
It's only half the people on the planet.
And spirit.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it makes sense. I just thought it was weird because, like, I guess there might have been more of a point. I don't know. Just because,
well,
it was on purpose,
right? It was to show the distinction.
Yeah.
The thing heals. I forgot already what's it called.
The thing.
The eye heals him in spirit water.
Spread your healing abilities.
Mel, did you know that this water has special
abilities? Hate everything.
Don't.
I like how you're Sam. I like how this role reversal. Yeah.
Yes. I just love how more Avatar parallels. Like healing water, it's crazy.
So there's two. Here's two Avatar parallels that the Avatar Parallels Tumblr account is going to have a field day with. In a row. I don't like parallels for the sake of parallels. Sometimes. Healing in spirit water, fine. That's not necessarily a direct parable. Why is Juan doing the dragon dance? I don't understand.
That was perfect. I loved every minute of that.
I don't get it. Like, does it make sense?
No, I almost thought they were going to, like, introduce the animals doing bending, but...
But no, they just have this one thing.
No.
Yeah. Is the dragon a spirit? Is it an actual dragon?
Okay, that's fair enough.
I don't even know.
Well, I got really confused about her, because I was going to be really sarcastic, because I was saving to be like, Dylan, they're spirit animals, but I don't know, like, we don't know, there's not really a fine line between, well,
our,
clear
our
line between spirits and animals.
Wait. This scene preceded the part where those guys were like, oh, he firebends, fire tosses.
he refined his firebending, he did the same thing Aang and Zuko did, yeah, exactly.
I think it's the idea, it's like a nod to the dragon taught him how to firebend.
Yes, it was an Avatar.
You asked
firebender.
Not answering for you.
stop eating. Yeah, stop eating, jeez. But yeah, I don't know. I need
sustenance, Dylan.
Yeah.
You need special properties.
In general.
Strong water.
Yes. I don't even know what I was going to say.
Special spirit almonds.
Anyway, I don't know if I like this. Some of you may like it. This just
like
random scene. It was cool to. It's certainly animated cool, but I don't know overall plot wise.
The feels remnants for me.
It's like how they didn't. Like, it is totally off. Wow. I can't believe we have to make this parallel. It's like they didn't explain how FTL jumps worked in Battlestar Galactica. Like, it just would have mucked it up.
No.
I like
so
how
they just put it in there, and it was perfect just how it was. They didn't need to explain it.
I appreciate that you always find a way to bring Battlestar Galactica.
I don't know.
It's pretty impressive.
I should say, not knowing what that is, I still don't know if it's appropriate. Because that's like explaining how something works. This is like...
Yeah, no, it's like, they don't like try and put jargon into it, because they know, like,
Disassemble
it.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I don't know if the scene does anything, though.
Too much explanation can be a bad thing. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I feel like it just has more to do with him being, like, the first firebender. Like, he's actually, like, as opposed to, like, keep saying fire tosser. Like, because the big emphasis what Mel was saying about
he's like actually learning to bend. Okay, but then yeah, why don't we see
they should have kept stuff? The term tosser. That would have been fun.
Yes, fire tossers.
Fire tosser.
It's great.
Water tossers, great. Air tossers.
Water tossers.
No, they have to be different for each one. So they're fire tossers, water throwers. Yeah, there we go. Hurlers.
So then,
tosser.
People leave the city, Juan's friends.
Avatar, the last
fire from the.
It's at this point that you can totally guess how the rest of the episode will go.
Sure.
Most of it.
It's not like this isn't predictable, but I don't think that's a flaw, really.
Who would have thought that if you just ask the Lion Turtle, it'll give you bending?
It'll just give you bending, yeah.
Just give you bending for no reason. Like, hey, Lion Turtle, I want to leave. And you're like, okay.
Lion Turtle, you're a real bro. Like,
He's a pal.
Yes.
That just
they were doing something minuscule. They were like hunting for food too. It wasn't even like a.
That just made me think of lions.
They're hunting for animals on your back. So
why aren't
please.
There like female lion turtles? Or are
yes?
Oh, maybe they
or maybe
are.
They don't have a gender.
Yeah,
but they're very male voices.
Why do they only have one air? Like, what determines what element they have? Do they get mad that
that's
they don't have
favorites.
Other elements? That's their favorites. Okay. I mean, I thought that was random.
It's like, the fire tosser.
Lion turtle.
Dude, they also had a stamp on their forehead. Like,
did they?
I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah, they did.
Whoa.
Was their eyelashes?
I was gonna say the eyelashes were way too distracting.
Yeah, so it's like they're born this way. They're born this way with their element. Yeah.
I was waiting for
maybe it's Maybelline.
Juan leaves to see. Okay. Oh, by the way, I should say the other Juan's friends is the weakest part of both episodes, but I think it's maybe necessary. We'll get to that, I guess, in part two. Juan leaves to see other Lion Turtle cities. Sam, can you mute when you're not talking, please? Thank you.
Oh, God.
All powerful spirits battling. Oh, yeah, that's the end of the episode. So then it's Ratu, and it's... Is it Ratu? I have the names right
here. It is Ratu. I kept thinking it
Vatu.
Was like...
It's not Ratu. Vatu and Rava. They are spelled R-A-A-V-A and V-A-A-T-U.
You gotta love those double vowels.
Yeah.
It is right, Tony. That's my first thought. It was Hindu.
The etymology crowd wants to figure out the significance, if any.
Of those names, yeah. Juan leaves to... Oh, I already did that. So Juan, like, breaks Vatu, free. He's the force of darkness and chaos. Rava, the force of light and peace. And then... Rava kept Vatu under control for 10,000 years. And it's all very...
10,000 years!
Yeah.
10,000. They should have just renamed the episode that because it keeps coming up.
It's just up, like human. They just say it all the time.
It's very mythology, this part. It's like, this is very stereotypical mythology.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
And like, also like the repeating of...
More Aladdin references.
Is also very,
it's a motif.
It's also very mythology. Like, that happens a lot. Mythology is also in like the Old Testament. Like, it's very, very, it's very good. It's a literary thing.
The whole thing is, like, the whole cycle, like, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
Especially since, you know, the whole show is based on a cycle. So.
Wait, Avatar is based on a cycle? No. And then Korra's like, Rava, I found you, and then the episode ends.
I think we'll talk about the animation real quick, about specifically with the, you know, the eldest spirits or whatever, because I think it's really neat. The rest of the spirits are animals, and then we have these abstract, some of them are crazy.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
I was about to clarify, but like, I think it's really important with the chaos and like evil and the good and the peace, because they're abstract ideas, and then we have these abstract spirits.
No, but there are like spirits that are like...
I know, don't ruin my point. Like, I understand.
How do they like physically
work? They look like weird stingrays floating through the air.
It's like, where's their heart? I don't get it.
Where's your face?
Yeah.
I love how the animation studio Mir does. Like, they make them look like they have movement and they don't even have mouths. Meanwhile, in episodes with actual people, they're sticks.
Yeah, I agree. I
do appreciate the fact, though, that Rava was a girl.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
In what we were talking about before, about the fact that why did the first avatar have to be male, that the avatar spirit is
female,
seemingly at least female.
I love it. It's pretty great. That voice acting is like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was April Stewart. She did a very good job.
It's amazing.
I I wonder why every, even non-gender specific things have to have a gender voice. Like, it's so interesting. Like, voices being one gender or another is so ingrained into our society. So, like, what would even a gender neutral voice sound like? Like, would we even
identify? The thing is that unlike, you know, because you look at it, the idea of gender versus actual, like, sex, you know, like, your sex is male or female, and gender is kind of the societal connotation that comes with it. I don't think voices really fall under gender, because it is, I mean, it's complete anatomy for the most part. I mean, even the deepest girl voice will still usually, I mean,
okay,
usually still sound
murky waters. It's not important. It's like almost irrelevant what your voice
is. I know, but it's anatomical. I mean, you can't change the fact
you
that
you can change your voice. People can have different voices. But yeah, anyway, I'm trying to get out of a hole here, but yeah, I don't know why they need to. Spirits are, like, the general point though is that spirits aren't male or female though, so they don't have this
save
this voice, and they don't have this naturally male or female voice. So why are they? It's easier to represent in our minds because our society is so gender specific.
Also, easier to cast.
Who voiced the dark spirit thingy?
What dark
some
spirit?
Guy? Is it like Jonathan something?
Vatu.
What is his name?
Jonathan Adams. Vatu.
Yeah, I knew it was Jonathan something.
He did a very good job.
Yeah, he was very good. April Stewart as Ravel was also very good.
Yeah, like, so the spirit voicing was just amazing.
Let's quickly grade specifically Beginnings Part 1, because like I said, they are two separate episodes.
But they mesh together so well.
Sure, it's like we think of Siege of the North Part 1 and 2 as different. Like, they're very different episodes. One's written by John O'Brien, one's written by Ernie Haas. Like, those are two very different episodes. And
well, I don't even feel like, well, these two, like, they're not, like, that different. Like, I mean, like, we can talk about how one's better than the other, but, like, for me, I was, like, I really can't, like, hadn't been credits, I couldn't have figured out where they wanted to transit, like, where they wanted to transit.
Yeah, there was a very less clear break between them.
Yeah, I think overall quality, I think there's a pretty sharp distinction, but they're certainly the same thing. They're one and the same, but we can grade them individually because they are separate. 5 is an average episode of television. 10 is the best episode ever of television ever. This out of 10, let's start with Mel.
I'm actually going to probably put it at around 7, just because I did have problems with pacing, but it kept me way more interested than past episodes of Korra have. And the animation was obviously gorgeous, and it did fix itself the farther it got into the episode in terms of the way the story was handled. So I put it at 7.
Okay, Jeff.
I'd say 6¾. okay. Like, and not putting on a scale with any of my last gradings, because I'm actually taking the 5 as average literally now. So yeah, better than average, not quite amazing, but and there were like a couple of little writing things, character writing that I didn't really agree with. Not character writing, just like situational writing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me.
Sam.
Do I have to?
Any number. Pick a number.
I guess I'll go to 7.
Okay.
Because maybe... What are you laughing about?
Because I was 3. Happen.
Yeah, and it's like, this is a 2 now.
I just don't really...
Okay, yeah, good explanation. Then.
Sam enjoyed the eyelashes, and that was worth a 7, because they were pretty well done eyelashes.
I just said 7 because you said 7, to be honest.
Delaney!
Like, every time we do this grading, people are probably like, that Delaney girl doesn't make any sense because your grading is all over the place. And it's another instance of that. Like, that Delaney girl doesn't make any sense.
I say that every day in my life. That's Delaney.
I know.
That Delaney girl, you know?
God, why do I talk?
It's fine.
Pick a number.
I feel like I want to give it a 7.5. And, like, I loved this episode, and I love part 2 more, so it'll get a higher score, but... I mean, yeah, the pacing, but I feel like the pacing worked better. Like, I feel like maybe they were like, hey, the pacing's really good for this episode, so we're just going to make the pacing for, like, this for all the other episodes. But, I mean, I thought it worked, and, yeah, some of the dialogue was pretty terrible, but, I mean, I feel like I just really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and, I mean, the creation myth, and I really liked Juan, and, like, his story, and, like, we're seeing it start out, and the whole firebending stuff, and... I just really enjoyed it, so I'll just give it a 7.5, and my other grades don't make any sense, so good. We'll just pretend they kind of do.
7 for me. Underwritten, bad dialogue at times. I think I actually enjoyed The Sting more than this episode, but the animation...
That's how I felt!
The animation for me puts this above The Sting, but if I'm going to rewatch one, it's going to be The Sting. But yeah, this is around the best episode of Book 2, maybe tied with The Sting before Beginnings Part 2, which we'll get into now. But before we do, quickly, for you listeners of the From the Spirit World podcast, we have a special free 14-day trial and a free audiobook download just for you guys, and also other people that use the Audible podcast program.
So it's special.
But just for you guys. And you can redeem this free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/FTSW. If you do that, you can get a free audiobook download, and you can cancel the subscription if you want, and then it's actually free, and you're also supporting the podcast, which would be cool. Delaney is going to recommend City of Bones and Clockwork Angel by Cassandra Clare, yeah.
Yeah, Cassandra Clare. Can I, kind of mention the series as a whole?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, people are probably like, City of Bones, that's a movie, right? Yes, it's a movie. I couldn't tell you if the movie's any good, but the book's good. so it's about, Cassandra Clare has two series. She has The Mortal Instruments, which is the beginning series. It's what came out first. Series of six books. The sixth one comes out this May, or maybe earlier, but it's not this year, next year. Anyway. So it's about shadow hunters, these people who are half angel and half human, and they were created to protect humanity from demons. So that's fun. Just, normal fantasy. It's kind of the whole dual worlds, these people, they live and they protect normal people, what they call mundanes. And it goes along with, whole normal people can't see what's going on because they're stupid and don't pay attention.
And mundane.
There's a whole country that they don't.
See, I'm already getting this book series already. Just description.
Kind of any plot description is kind of spoilers to a certain extent because it unfolds like a mystery. City of Bones.
Yeah, that's why I feel really terrible. Like I feel like my recommendation sucks. I try really hard not to spoil important things.
Yeah.
Like you could read the back of the book and be like, they're shadow hunters.
Yeah.
But that's just
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Okay, that was what I called for.
But, so you follow, and it's the whole, and of course you start off with the girl introducing you, you go through it with her, and then, so that's Mortal Instruments with Clary Frey and all this stuff, and her adventures, and then you have The Infernal Devices, which Clockwork Angel is the first book. It's a trilogy. It's set in the 19th century with the ancestors of the characters in Mortal Instruments, and it's there's a lot of setup for Mortal Instruments, but you don't really actually have to read either or for it to really matter. Though, if you're going to read both, read Mortal Instruments to City of Glass, and then read Clockwork Angel, Infernal Devices all the way through, because then you're going to have this big oh my god moment and just want to rip your hair out.
Is it like Valentine in Infernal Devices, or before that?
It's the 1800s.
Okay.
We're talking, this is 18, it's 19th century London.
I mean, I don't know, I haven't completed the book. I don't know how old everyone is, I guess.
Okay,
Nina Headley's in the movie. Anyway,
yeah, but, yeah.
So it's, and it's the same stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Both of these series are pretty, pretty big deal in young adult.
And there's going to be a third series, because Cassandra Clare is insane. It's going to be set after Mortal Instruments.
I've started City of Bones, pretty good. It's, if you like young adult novels, you'll like it, kind of. But
it's a lot different, I feel. They don't focus on the things you think they'd focus on. And if you're all about, I want to read books that, champion homosexuality and stuff, this is one of those books, and it's awesome. These series are just fantastic, and they do a lot of, questioning sexuality on a bunch of different fronts, and it's just awesome.
Well, that's kind of spoilers. I haven't seen any gay characters yet.
Oh, you haven't? Why haven't you seen them? Well, it's not also, there's not only dealing with gay characters, there's other things about just, figuring out your sexuality in any way and, that struggle.
Cool.
But, yeah, you're going to get there, Dylan, and you're going to be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that actually gives me a lot more incentive to finish that book. Okay.
I don't necessarily know if it's as obvious in City of Bones, but it's definitely in there like the rest of the books.
Cool. So, yeah, check out City of Bones and Clockwork Angel by Cassandra Clare. You can get your free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/FTSW. Oh, and it should be noted, a series we've recommended a lot previously, Divergent, the third book, Allegiant, is about to come out in a few days.
When? Why did I know this?
Yeah, it's like really soon it's coming out. It's very exciting. So yeah, you can also get that once it comes out, if the audiobook version's out right away. I don't know. But yeah, we'll probably recommend that at some point in some future podcast. So let's get to Beginnings Part 2, written by Tim Hedrick. Hooray, yay. Tim Hedrick. Directed by Ian Graham. Around the Horn, specifically this episode, any additional thoughts? Try to keep them brief. Mel?
I like this one a lot better, just because I think the plot flowed a lot better. There was less awful dialogue. again, I think it was mostly content-based, the fact that I was so interested in it, but I definitely liked it better than the first half.
Jeff?
When we were discussing the last episode, I mentioned how as soon as the citizens all go up and leave, I said, like, oh, and, you know, it's so obvious now what's going to happen next. Well, I sort of got proven wrong with this episode because, like, that plot, you know, is important, but they saved it to the end. They didn't dwell on this thing, like, oh, okay, we know how this is going to work. They just, like, he was off doing his own thing. So, like, I loved how this episode flowed. Was not a fan of how the epic finale battle ended. I guess we'll talk about that later. Yeah. But, yeah.
Sam.
Things that happened. Steve Young. Really obvious setup for what's going to happen the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I'm not British. Sky Bison. That's all you need to know.
Good.
The Sky Bison.
Delaney.
Oh,
the Sky
Bison. I said before, I really like this episode in comparison to the one before it. Like, it's just so much, like, there's just more action, and I kind of like I had said before about the motif thing, like, the motif thing is a lot more prevalent in this part, in this episode, and the big thing is, like, this is a lot of where it comes in for me, where I just love the big themes and the ideas that they're showing to children, that I guess we can get into later, that just blew me away, and, like, because I just loved every minute of it, and the Rava stuff is just awesome. Like, can I be Rava, please? She's so cool.
No, you don't get to be Rava.
Rava
and a teapot. Yeah, actually, I tweeted at Nick that they should have Rava and a teapot. They should get on selling that. And they tweeted back, "We'll add that to our eShop soon." That's pretty good. Yeah, this episode is really epic. This is an all time great. It's weird hearing me be this positive. This is Beginnings Part 2, very, very good.
Do we like switch roles sometimes?
I know, exactly. We're missing the epic. We're missing the epic feel from Korra. This reminds me so much of Siege of the North Part 2, which is like my favorite episode of television ever. And this is not, but it's so good. And you'll see in my grade later that I really liked it. And we'll get into part of the reason. I mean, certainly it has its writing flaws, but they're not really evident. Like, there's no obvious lines, like, in the last one. And it's mostly unflawed and at times very epic. The animation is incredible. Loved it. So let's go through some specifics. We start out with Rava going to track down Vatu. And she, like, goes away.
She gets tinier and tinier.
Yeah, she starts getting tinier. It's sad.
That was really cool.
Nice visual element there. Juan finds airbenders. So, first of all, it should be noted, if you look closely, their air tattoos are like...
Yeah, let's talk about their arrows. It's the best.
They're not, like, actually... They're, like...
Yeah, they're not technically
arrows. My description of them is, like, on, like, bathroom signs, like, the little male symbol, like, the cartoony male figure. Like, upside down. That's what's on their heads.
Yes.
They have bathroom signs on their foreheads.
Yeah. But I really like that they're different. Like, they kind of show, like, an evolution of culture.
Although Allie pointed out that one of the kids is, like, super duper young and has them, which
maybe they're born with it.
I don't think they're
born with bright blue tattoos.
I don't think so. But
also, the first woman we see is in the Air Nomad Village.
And it should be noted, we see darker skinned Air Nomads.
Yes.
Yeah, for maybe the first time, I think.
Also,
you're forgetting the thing, wakeboarding.
Wakeboarding? I'm forgetting wakeboarding.
Yeah, the air skate.
That doesn't actually count, though, you know. Wakeboarding does not count.
Well, it's just like, why can't... So Aang needs a glider, but these people are just like, Cloud.
My question is...
Oh, I want to bring that up real quick. That is, they ripped that off from Dragon Ball. It's the flying Nimbus Cloud from Dragon Ball, so...
I hadn't thought about that when you said that, and it's definitely that's definitely what it is.
My question is, why is the Air Nomads culture so preserved? Like, why are they acting like this? Why are they nomads?
Because we never get them. Because they feel bad about killing them. That's why. They feel bad. It's guilty genocide thoughts.
So you're saying Mike and Brian, right?
Yes, they
them.
Feel bad yeah. because they killed them.
It seems a little far-fetched that this culture would preserve so long with this such specific elements, their color of dress, their tattoos, how seemingly they have airbending taken away, and then they get it back at some point after, it's unclear, but why are they still specifically air nomads, and I don't really understand the connection between then and now. But it's still cool, I guess.
I think it's nice because we're finally getting to see them, and I guess this is this is the only way we get to do this.
Yeah. Sorry. A crisis here. There's an air alert at Lion Turtle, and this is the one where the symbol is most evident.
Is it like the chapter symbol or like the nation symbol?
It's the nation symbol.
Maybe that would be cool because that's where they take the their nations.
Yeah, it's on his forehead. I don't know if it makes sense though. I don't really hear I don't really remember seeing the fire symbol on the original Air Nomad, the original Fire Turtle.
I looked back. It wasn't exactly a fire symbol, but I could see how it was derived from it.
I think the air one is a little more clear.
Well, there are two different fire symbols that we see a lot in Avatar. Like, there's the one where it's there's a lot of lines in it, and there's the more stylized one.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even notice.
So
yeah, I didn't see
does it.
Does
it make sense that these lion turtles genetically have these symbols?
Yes.
Yes,
they
the
can do whatever
lion
they want.
Turtles are creatures of genetics.
No, I think this is a cool hint to their origin story, which we don't know.
Yeah.
But
we have no idea. I don't think Mike and Brad know, honestly. But whatever. Spirits are turning dark. Vatu appears. Wan fights dark spirits. When Harmonic Convergent comes, I will destroy you forever, Vatu says.
Bad name,
He's the original melodramatic villain. It's kind of great.
Yeah. Vatu turns other spirits dark, and he gets more powerful in the process, and Rava gets weaker. Harmonic Convergence. Yeah.
They could have, if they had named it, Convergence, that would be really mysterious and cool. Convergence.
I don't get the harmonic part. Why?
Well, harmonic, harmonic is because harmonic comes from sine waves, and I guess you can sort of present the planetary orbits as sine waves, maybe, but they don't really work that way in real life.
Yeah, I was just really confused. What?
Mike and Brian are fans of the word harmony, so therefore they used harmony.
Okay, fair enough.
And it's an episode title, too.
Yeah, so
Harmony
means nothing in relation to harmonic. They're totally different words.
I don't think they're thinking of the waves thing. That's not...
I feel like it's because they're like, yay, harmony, and then they're just
if
like...
If Mel wasn't, having trouble,
also,
she'd be like, harmonica...
Also, the word harmonic, I believe there's a definition which is a form of harmony, people in harmony.
It's a big deal about, that just goes into music in general and, the different, you can play harmonics and stuff, it's just a big deal.
There's a lot of definitions of the word harmonic.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wan wants air now. They say that Rava must hold the power for Wan until he masters it.
Why?
That part was really confusing. I didn't get that part.
Yeah, and then do they contradict it later, or do they not? I don't know. It's interesting.
They just don't, talk about it, and it's just more I'm just gonna go through you, and it'll be all okay. I just didn't really get it.
Yeah, this is sort of how Korra got her, or how Mon took bending back, maybe it makes sense, but they need to explain it. Or they don't. No, it's a myth, but whatever.
Yeah,
wasn't a big turnoff for me for the episode.
I think there's a decent amount of explanation. I just don't. I can't connect it right now. Initially he can use the element, but Rava going through him later when they're training enhances him using the element.
Yeah.
But
same. It's like reverse going ghost.
I know.
I had to do it.
I wanted to bring up that the possession thing is totally Danny Phantom.
Yes, Jeff.
Here's a possible theory. Maybe he needs to train his body to be able to accept the power, and he doesn't. And the Lion Turtle doesn't want to have to wait around for him to do it. So it's like, Rava, you take the power and give it to him when he's ready, and don't bother me again.
He does get really buff. He does. I mean, And he does talk about how he gets stronger and stronger every time he uses it, so that's kind of, like, part of the training. Like, he just has to prepare himself, like mentally and, like, emotionally.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, like, so it can be made to make sense, but we don't know enough about it at this point, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe it should have been presented clearer. I don't think when
it's
you're
not
watching...
It's not a major plot hole,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's not, a plot hole. I just think it's, like, not explained very well.
Yeah.
Which, it doesn't have to be explained, like...
Yeah, like, again, this is, like, a myth, and, yeah. This is something that we'd like to see, though, because it's very relevant to the overall mythology of Avatar. But then I guess later in the episode they get clear on it. We'll see. We'll get there. A year until the battle with Vatu at Harmonic Convergence.
Sounds
it's
familiar.
Like, dang.
Yeah.
He had to...
The parallels are ridiculous, and I love them.
I mean, all stories with the time until final battle, but yeah. And then Rava puts air into Wan. Yeah, and then... No, this isn't the scene with all the information. Rava and Vati...
Wait, I wanted to, like, ask, did he only get air when, like, Rava passed through him? Like, is that, like, the only time he could control air?
I don't know if that's...
Pretty sure.
No, I think they gave it to him because, like, because he kept using the elements even when she wasn't, like, inside him.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like...
Okay, yeah. I was just wondering that.
Like, she was just, like, a carrier. Also, another thing is, like, how, you know how, like, and every, all the other spirits we saw who, like... possess somebody, like, they really harmed them, like, they changed their appearance. Now, I don't necessarily know if it's because of their malicious intent, or is it just because Rava is the good spirit, and she's, like, an older spirit that she can do it without doing, like, obvious damage, like, physically.
I wonder what Wan would look like if he was, like, half sea pancake. That would be pretty cool.
Half sea pancake.
Yeah.
I think Rava and Vatu work differently than other spirits.
Okay. I mean, that would just curious.
A good version of Pride, when he's falling apart at the end of Fullmetal Alchemist.
I don't understand.
Very, very archaic.
Yes, anyway. Yeah, Rava and Vatu fight every 10,000 years, very mythological thing. Rava would come
back... Like,
they're
checking their calendars.
Yeah, Rava... Exactly, they say, this is the day we fight again. Yeah. Rava would come back even if she loses, but humans would not survive until then. Yeah. Okay, so then humans... Okay, and then more explanation. Humans come from the physical world. Spirits come from another world. Another plane, they say at times. Over time, more spirits come into the human worlds at the poles. So we start to see that connection. Pretty obvious. The spirit portals. Humans...
It explains the lights that we were talking about in a... I don't know if I was talking about it, but you guys were talking about it.
It does explain that, yeah. Humans become more reliant on the Lion Turtles. So originally there weren't, like, just cities on the Lion Turtles, it seems like. And Wan learns other elements from the other Lion Turtles, yeah.
I love how he, like, talks to himself. He's like, haven't you heard the legends? Like, who are you, Wan? You've been around for, like, 2 years.
So this was the scene where they just throw a bunch of information at us.
I want to say...
Yes.
I like the look of the Earth Lion Turtle.
Yeah, that was really cool, actually.
That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
This scene, it was really interesting. It was like a training montage, and Rava was talking over the background, giving us a ton of information really fast. I think it worked.
Like, I missed a lot of it the first time I watched it. Like, I noticed that. Like, I missed a lot of what she said, and then I was like, oh my god, Rava.
She's just saying a lot of important stuff.
Yes.
I do think it worked, though, because she was saying a lot of stuff that wasn't necessarily vital to what we're about to see in this episode. So I think it was kind of good that they gave it a lot at once, but I also think, like, we're starting to get fast-paced and we're approaching the final battle. Yeah, it is a lot to chew on.
I gotta say, I really like this whole conflict setup with a 10,000-year cycle. Like, it would seem a bit too contrived, I think, if, like, we come in at the moment when the fate of the world is decided for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Like, but now that we know, oh, okay, so, like, 10,000 years is bad.
10,000 years.
It's just so epic. Whenever we talk about 10,000 years and it happening over and over, it's just so epic.
Yeah.
Why is 10,000 a thing? Like, one...
It's very important.
Why don't you talk?
I mean, that's not the typical thing.
It's just
that,
a good time period. Well, like,
they just picked
Asian,
a number.
In Asian culture, it is, isn't it? Isn't, like, 10,000, like, a lot?
Is it?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I don't know.
In a lot of these mythologies...
He who knows 10,000 things is like...
Dylan. He who knows 10,000 things.
Oh my goodness. In a lot of these mythologies, a general number, like a big number, is used to represent a lot. Like,
okay, wow. Dylan, a big number.
If you look up 10,000,
that's a lot.
Oh my goodness. For example, in the Bible, the number 40 is used over and over again, but it's not like everything. It's the way I was taught in.
You know, they do say that the number 42 means
42. The point is that it's not actually that everything happened 40, 40, 40. It's just this is a big. This is something that happened multiple times. It is a big number. Anyway. I don't know. Guys, the weakest part of the episode, in my opinion, but it's still good. Guys from Wand City come back. They're attacking spirits. People are fighting spirits. The Wand's brother guy, I don't know if he's actually his brother or not, he's like, who cares about the difference between...
I'm sad that the other guy died.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was some serious stuff for a kid show. Like, I get it, we've killed people. Yo. Amon blew himself up, but, like, he said annihilation. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Korra slammed some guy against a wall and totally...
and then, like, headed Naga's mouth. Fair enough.
Killed that guy, so...
Then the spirits turned dark. The colors when,
That was crazy.
The spirits turned dark. Oh my goodness, this animation.
It's beautiful.
It's pretty incredible.
I can't even deal with this animation. It's so amazing.
I would need to watch this in HD, like, immediately.
I did watch it in HD. Ha!
Freaking college. Come on. Rava goes into Wan.
I have HD.
Juan does, well, you're in a house, and then Juan, like, does the Aang thing. I call this the Aang thing.
The Ponage Ball?
Or the Aang thing.
Juan came first.
A.K.A. the Ponage Ball. Juan chronologically came first, but not actually. Aang did it first.
Well, it depends on what you mean by chronologically, Dylan. Like, there's two different ways you can say that.
In terms of the canon of the Avatar world, Juan
No, that still doesn't make sense.
In terms of actual timeline of
say television,
world,
Dylan,
in
and
terms
it works.
Of our world, Aang did it first. Okay. And Rava has to leave Juan because it's dangerous, apparently. See you at the end of the world, says Vatu.
Like, when you're talking about it being the weakest, like,
what a taskmaster. See you at the end of the world.
Like, really? Like, that was such a weird thing to say. But I loved it for some reason.
Oh, so wait a minute. Then are we getting apocalyptic here in Avatar? See you at the end of the world?
The end of this world, the beginning of my world.
Because, I mean, the whole, because we basically started at the beginning of everything with Wan. 10,000 years later, Korra. Is this supposed to be the big cataclysmic apocalyptic?
Is this the Mayan calendar?
This is like battle for the next 10,000 years happening right now.
Is this 2012?
That's interesting.
And then Rava talks about, she's like, it would end the world as you know it. And she says that.
It's the end of the world as you know it.
This is a night of references. I'm enjoying
This is a lot of references. And then Rava is put into a teapot.
Yeah.
No, it's totally Aladdin. That's Aladdin again.
Yes.
You know what Allie said? Allie said
that...
Why
didn't she just drink him? we don't know if it's a boy or girl. Assumed.
But Allie said, why doesn't Juan just drink him?
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, anyway. This is really dumb, but I really liked it. I don't know why they did this. Why is Robin
It's absurd.
I really liked it.
Like, it was kind of just one of those quirky, like, Avatar things. You're just like, why?
Yeah, and like Juan's carrying a teapot around. We never see him drinking tea, you know.
No, he drinks tea.
No, he did.
In the cabin.
Yeah,
no,
the beginning.
Spirits served it to him after he did the dance.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
would you drink tea after there was a strange spirit in it? No.
Yes.
You could not wash that out, Dylan. You can't wash that out.
I don't think it really matters because, like, the spirit is in him now, so, you know, germs.
Yeah, they're already one. Who cares? Yeah.
They're already one.
It's like when you're married to someone, you shouldn't care about germs. Like, yeah. Anyway. Are Rava and Juan married?
Yes.
Bonded forever, not even for life, forever.
Yeah,
forever.
They reincarnate together.
Still a better love story than Twilight.
Told that to his part? Not really.
I don't think it is a love story. Okay. Wand, yeah.
That's what makes it better.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be romantic love to be a love story.
No, exactly. See, Mel gets me.
I mean, do you think they have love? Like, I kind of get the impression that they just put up with each other.
We're just joking.
Put up with each other? I don't think that's quite it.
Anyway, Juan takes Rava teapot to Harmonic Convergence. Korra is the Avatar, so it is the Korra teapot.
They're having a tea party at the end of the world.
Technically, she once existed in a teapot.
Southern portal to spirit world, yeah.
I love how they're both next to each other in the spirit world. Like, great job, guys.
Yeah, so, like, what is that? Is that, like, those two
like
run next to each other, would take them to opposite ends of the world?
I think so. Like, it's pretty cool.
It's like Portal to Danny Phantom.
I know.
The Danny Phantom references are.
Oh, the references this movie, are going to get even worse.
This episode was Hercules and Danny Phantom combined. Yes.
And what?
Me and Mel worked out the Hercules stuff.
So they're in like this transition place between the physical and spiritual worlds, right?
You know what? Harmonic conversion sounds like a festival.
Harmonica.
It does sound like a festival, but it's like the
it's like going to the harmonic conversion.
Yeah, I wonder what is there any specific reason for the use of the term harmonic? Because that's a sound.
We discussed
that.
Because of planetary orbits, I think.
Yeah, well, we discussed that. It's like the waiting room to the spirit world, I think is where the...
It's limbo.
Purgatory.
It's like purgatory, yeah, exactly.
The train station.
There we go.
It's like the cross.
King's Cross?
King's Cross, King's Cross.
We've actually referenced everything in popular culture. Like, we've actually...
Everything.
One in two episodes.
So where they're battling, that isn't the spirit world, it's like...
I thought it was the spirit world.
The impression I got is that there's two beams of light coming out of it. One leads to the physical world, and one leads to the spirit world. So they're in a place of limbo.
So that's an option. The other one is that they're both...
Yeah, I thought it was North and South Pole.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'm not sure which one it is.
Because if that's the case, then like when Unalaq's saying they can go from north to south through the portals, he's meaning go into the spirit world, walk across a field, go back.
Yeah. So
they're right next to each other, so they can make the arch.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's like an artistic choice. It also could be, if one goes to the spirit world, one goes to the physical world, it could be that, like once you enter the one to the physical world, it's like, choose your destination, and you can click.
Yeah. Did anyone else have Halloween Town moments? Like, that's all I can, like, watching this.
You guys?
Halloween Town?
I don't know what that is. Anyway,
Thank you, Sam.
So, the reason I think it's the spirit world, I guess the way I interpreted the Deus Ex Machina at the end of the episode is that Juan took part of the spirit world, and, like, he has energy from the spirit world going around him. That was how I interpreted it. So, like, that wouldn't make sense if that was just, like, a northern portal. But it could make sense. It's still spirit energy.
He's no normal human.
Anyway, give us your impressions on that. It could be that the episode clearly stated, and we just don't know. Like, we record these right after the episode, so we'll see. I lived 100,000,
10,000.
10K lifetime.
Yeah, I wrote 10K on here. I'm having trouble.
Really, just like when you're trying to think of a big number, just say 10,000. That's probably right.
Lifetimes before the first of your kind crawled out of the mud.
Ooh.
That was such a beautiful line.
So there are mythologies in which, like, people come from mud, come from the earth.
That's a thing that happens in the real world.
That's a mythology in our world, dude.
Yeah.
Greek mythology, Prometheus.
It's a mythology everywhere.
There's a ton of mythology.
Like, created humans from mud.
Yeah, so I don't think it's clear that this is what is the standing mythology is for creation of humans in the Avatar world, but I think it's interesting that Vatu says it. Like, wouldn't he know? Is that where humans come from? I kind of like that it's just, like, thrown in there, because I don't know.
Like, the fact that he said it is just significant, even if we don't know exactly what he means behind it.
Yeah.
I really like the imagery of all the Lime Turtles getting together and using their element powers to make humans out of mud. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Don't all the elements just make mud?
Like, they're all just lonely.
Yeah, like in 201. Mud. 201.
Yeah, in 201, yeah.
Yeah, so... I like it.
Makes warm mud.
Yeah.
Like, the reason people can bend is because they're part of the element, like, they have the elements inside
them. I like it.
Vatu says he was the first to break into the... He didn't say he was the first, but he said, it was me who went into the physical world. So, like, he's the first spirit to ever get into the physical world from the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he punched a hole through the earth.
Well, it makes sense.
So maybe limbo is created by him. Did he, like... bend physics to, like, make a hole between two planes, you know, like, is he
chaos. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah. Like, singularity. Everything breaks
down.
And
then the final boss fight starts. This is, like, very clearly a video game boss. Like,
yes, definitely. Yeah.
He has, like, this laser beam. And what is the Pokemon attack that grass types use? That's a beam.
I don't think it's a grass.
Beam. Hyper beam.
Hyper beam. Okay, so this is what this reminds me of.
Solar beams.
Hyper beam or solar beam?
Solar beam. Hyper beam is dragon.
Now we've referenced everything.
Yes. It's one of the two. Solar Beam. He uses Solar Beam, and it's dark, and it makes that sound.
Yeah, the noise it makes is the best thing ever.
Yeah. It's like, Benjamin Wynn come up with that sound? I want to hear that.
Like, what is that sound? Like, what did they do to make that sound?
I don't know. I mean, it's like a very video gamey sound.
Oh, no, it sounds like it's from Serenity, the Reaver ships.
Ooh, yeah, now we actually are referencing it. Sounds like it's yep. I don't remember specifically
how the reference sounds, podcast. That's the name of the
show. Yeah.
We actually have referenced everything nerdy. So you guys
we need to make a list. On Tumblr, we need to make a list of every reference.
Someone come up with and post on the forums, yeah. Now prepare to face Oblivion. He's very Ozai-y, and he just says really
He's very dramatic.
He loves Annihilation, Oblivion, like his word choice.
Yeah,
let's calm down.
Let's calm
your over dramatic god of chaos.
I mean,
chill.
This is the end of the world, but you don't need to be that dramatic here. Come on.
Like, tone it down a little bit.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
And it's not the end of the world, apparently.
Yeah, that's not the place for this. The only way to win is together, says Juan. And then they come.
Out of the teapot.
Yeah, they come together. The planets.
They just slither out of the teapot.
The planets line up.
Hercules.
Oh, by the way,
have you seen the planets, or did we see that
first time.
We see outer space in the season 2 finale.
We see our solar system.
We don't necessarily see other planets. We see,
it's not
planet.
Quite our solar system.
Yeah, the rings are
some of the rings are different in
but
different
they,
planets.
They, like, very much look like our planets, you know?
Like, there's definitely,
But yeah,
we've also seen
space before, I guess, when shots of the Sozin's comet. Probably we've seen it in space.
Sorta.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I knew we'd seen space before, but I don't know if we'd specifically seen planets.
Yeah, we saw. I don't know if we saw other planets in the season 2 finale. We saw Earth. We saw that it was purple.
It exists.
But yeah, and this Earth is everything's like red in this shot of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like on fire.
It's something special is happening, though, so it's not like that color normally.
It's harmonic convergence, Dylan.
Yeah, exactly.
For the sake of math, let's just, like, I looked up how, someone guesstimated how long it would take to wait for the planets in our solar system to align. And it was like 10 to the 21st power.
So not every 10,000 years is what you're saying.
No, that's 10 to the 4th. So
yeah.
That's what, 10 to the 4th, 21st, that's like
that's significant.
17, 10 to the 17 more times less often.
Which is an incredible amount, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's like a number we don't have a word
more
for.
Disproving that the Avatar world,
silly word for it.
More
yeah.
Disproving that the Avatar world is not our world, which you talked about in minicasts. Plug for minicasts, so listen to the old
ones. Yes. If any of you are astrophysicists, please, like, try and design some stable solar system where this works out. That'd be awesome.
I mean, I'm sure in other solar systems that would work out. You just you'd have to take a long time figuring out how.
I mean, it's a very specific, like, condition that you're basing first of all after. Yeah.
Oh man,
if we're gonna be fair, like infinite, whatever, like the idea of like infinite,
science.
Whatever. So,
the era of Rava is over.
My art major brain hurts.
I don't remember who says that. Who says the era of Rava is over?
What do you think says it?
Probably.
The dramatic guy.
No, I don't think he said that. Does the villain say that?
Yeah.
Well, who else
It's
would?
Weird. I can never
yeah, I'm misunderstanding what that line means. Yeah, he's bragging. Yeah. He's just, this isn't, they haven't actually,
who else would say that?
They haven't combined yet. He's just bragging, yeah. And Juan takes, okay, and then Juan reaches behind him, pulls out some energy, and he's like, so it wouldn't be.
I think that's Bravo controlling him, because there was like that weird moment, and then he does it. Because I don't know why he would think.
I don't know. Yeah, that's true.
And what is that? What is it going blue? Is like,
my interpretation is that he's taking energy from the spirit world, and that's somehow affecting him. Even if it's not the portal to the spirit world, it's some type of celestial solar energy.
That's what I think is, because that's why they're bonded forever, and because harmonic convergence only happens every 2,000 years, which makes me think that in Korra, we could maybe unbond the spirits if it can only happen at harmonic convergence. And they can't do it normally.
Interesting. We shall discuss later.
You know, I actually got to say that this showdown, it seemed to be turning into the same sort of thing that Aang and Ozai did at the very end. Like,
less epic, though.
Blue and red
Yeah.
I thought they were both going to do that, but then it didn't.
Yeah.
That would have been too parallelly.
I'm glad they did not.
That actually would have destroyed people's brains.
So, as we know, I'm not a fan of Deus Ex Machina, and people hate when I say that word now on the podcast. But in mythology, this happens very frequently, so I'm it makes perfect
sense. That's where Deus Ex Machina has come from, mythology.
So it makes perfect sense that this would happen here.
Well, the fact that we know that we have the Avatar spirit, and we had understood, I think, from that game, that's pretty much what these two episodes are, is like that. Is that game on Nick into two episodes?
Escape from the Spirit World?
Yes. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. And, like, how we know, like, we had known that she was, like, well, the Avatar is an immortal spirit made human, made mortal, so we understood this was going to happen at some point. So I think that makes it, like, more bearable, the whole, like, that was an easy solution. But, like, since we knew it was going to happen, I think that makes it, like, less bad.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it didn't really bother me because this is epic.
It wasn't awful, you know. But like, it is frustrating that Avatar, like Jeff said earlier, Avatar can't see or slash Korra can't seem to end like a big fight without pulling something out. You know, like we can't actually see legitimate back and forth.
We can't get reasons.
The integrity of fights in the Avatar world is so stunted. Like you can't bet on them because you never know when someone's just going to pull some spirit energy out and do something with it. You know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Juan takes the portal, we are bonded forever. That line is a little bit inserted.
I love that line.
Can we talk about how Juan was, like, glitching?
Yes.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Totally glitching. It was
like a computer thing.
It was like Wreck-It
Ralph. Glitching. Yeah. So, I didn't really like that. I thought that kind of killed the immersion there. Okay.
Like, anyway. It was a strange animation choice, I thought.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me so much, but it just seemed a little out of place.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he's, like, vibrating in and out of existence.
Sorry, I was responding to Jeff. Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know what it reminds me of, but people...
Is it, like, his cells, like, breaking apart? Like, I just don't understand what would make him vibrate that way.
And then they had the sound effect, too. It was pretty accurate. I didn't dislike it. I thought it was interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't bother me. It was just more of like, that's odd. Like, every time it happened, it was just like, this is strange.
I thought it was an interesting choice.
Definitely. I mean, just because, like, the animation, I mean, because they were doing a lot of different stuff with the animation, and the fact that they made him look like, it looked very computer programmy and video gamey, like you were talking about with the whole boss thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a boss fight, this whole thing. Definitely. Huge rock. Action pose. I don't remember what I referred to, but he definitely made an action pose. And then he makes the air ball. He seals.
I actually think I can picture what you're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
He seals Vatu inside the Aang, as I call it. And,
inside the Aang.
Yeah.
Does that even mean
what?
The Pwnage ball?
The Pwnage ball. The Aang. Yes.
It's not.
I call it the Aang. He was the first one.
We call it the Pwnage ball.
No,
the Finale podcast.
We all know what it is.
Did we
now,
actually
it's
call
okay.
that in the finale?
Yeah, that's
yes,
the actual name for it.
I don't know if I
ball.
Called it. Let's review.
Oh my god!
I said those.
We're not going to listen to it now.
I'm not doing this with you right now.
Someone will. I won't look.
Podcast from 2008.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And then he sealed the Aang inside of the tree.
What's this random tree doing?
What's this tree doing? Exactly. Like, why is this... Is the world a tree?
I don't know,
like,
but this guy is basically the Titans. He's all the Titans from Hercules locked up. And in 10,000 years, Hades is going to show up. When the planets align, he's just going to release him and havoc.
Yes. Is that where he's always supposed to go? There was a suspiciously ball like sized hole in the tree. Like, is this where so they have this battle every 10,000 years? Is this what Rava does? She just puts him in the tree and waits until he gets out.
This is where Hexus used to live. You know Hexus from I can't remember what it's called. He's the evil forest spirit. He likes pollution.
I don't know what that is.
All the references.
Someone remember it.
Also another reference, similar to the Lich in Adventure Time. This whole ceiling thing.
Sure.
But this is all reminding me of another reference, Tales of Symphonia, a bunch. The World Tree, there's a big tree there. Different planes and worlds next to each other, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's kind of like Norse mythology, that whole deal.
Yeah, this is Norsey, yeah. Norsey.
Norsey.
I will close the portal so no human can physically enter the spirit world and release you. Hint, hint, Unalaq, hint, hint. Juan sends...
Wow.
That's basically what I got from
Juan sends spirits back to the spirits world. He's now the bridge between the two worlds, he says. Lion
Turtle establishes himself.
I didn't like any of
this. This is what I'm going to do.
Lion Turtle's time protecting mankind is over. No longer give human the elements, and then we see a shot of humans bending. What does that mean? Use Rava's light spirit to guide worlds towards peace.
I love that. Like, that makes so much sense. That's who the Avatar is, that they're the spirit. And that kind of ties in for me, like, we kind of, like, passed that part, but, like, how, like, I just had that big moment when he, like, when they join together and they fight, that, because he kept talking about he's no longer human, and that, like, to no longer be human, he becomes this greater, like, he's kind of, like, he's not corrupted by, like, what the vices of mankind, like, anger and, like, all that violence and stuff, that he becomes, like, something greater. Like, that was my big part about, like, the bigger meaning in these episodes. Like,
yeah, that's interesting.
Like, that was, like, the best thing for me. It was just like,
Thoughts on the, what happened is our, so at the end, at the conclusion of Beginnings, are humans, bending?
Conclusion of Beginnings.
Okay. Other than one, do humans have the capability to bend? Yes, because we see them fighting with Ben.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't entirely clear.
I agree, but, like, to what extent do you interpret this as?
I mean, like I was saying earlier before we were doing this, is that I think it was that whatever humans who still had their bending abilities kept them, but the blind turtles no longer, like, doled out bending.
But, like I said, though, what humans have bending? Like, that. But
there would be, like, basically that would limit it to whoever was out on patrol.
It was just those fire guys who stole.
Maybe some of the lion turtles, like, didn't make them give it back.
Maybe.
It could be, like, a variant from...
Did we talk about the air people?
Yeah, we said, like, while I was down. I think that none of them airbended inside the lion turtle.
They didn't. None of them did.
So none of them airbended. So it was just when they went out, like, it was, like, the same thing with the fire. The lion turtle granted them when they were going out into the spirit wilds and then took it away later.
And this could be the animal tie-in.
Yeah. So
moon tie-in.
So it's, like, only this 10 people, Juan's friends, firebended, before they learned from dragons. It could be that. And could this group, like, could these people be significant, too? That's interesting.
Well, here's another thing. So that one lion turtle was, like, the end of the lion turtles, you know, protecting. Well, what about the other? There were dozens of them. Where are they?
Hold on. The people are dead, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
They got annihilated.
That's another thing we forgot.
Says Vatu.
That's true. Aww.
That made me really sad. They all died.
The Sun Warriors.
What did you say, Delaney?
Well, just that. So that one lion turtle is like the age of, you know, protecting mankind is over. Well, what about the other lion turtles? What about the other people? Do they know? Is there like a lion turtle like a message system? Like, how are they going to tell these people?
There is a memo. Yeah, they send
it. Yeah, like what happened?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of the whole point of Avatar 1, I don't know. Like, because he said he traveled around and was, like, bringing peace and such.
Yeah, I don't know.
There could be renegade lion turtles.
I can see him, like, bringing the word of the rest of humanity to everyone and say, hey, spirits, because he has to go everywhere to get the spirits out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. So, it's unclear, do we interpret it how I interpret it, that they're learning from... See, because what I think is that no humans other than Juan have bending after this. That's how I interpret this. So the thing is, though, that then we get a shot of within Juan's lifetime, people are fighting with bending. So how do we go from this to this?
Maybe he gave them bending, just like Korra takes away bending.
Yeah, that's true. Juan probably has the capabilities to do that.
Energy bending.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo. So
I just don't know.
I think we've arrived at a point here that the episode is unclear. At best, contradictory at worst.
So they answer questions, and it's like, yay, more questions.
I think the episode contradicts itself. But like I said, we record this immediately after the episode airs, pretty much. It's we don't really know. Discuss this on the forums. This is a big issue. We will certainly revisit it. I think it takes away from me from the episode, but not that much, I guess.
I thought it was significant that we saw shields and that they had taken the marking. They had, like, we kind of talked about that before with the lion turtles and the symbols, that they had taken those markings as their own.
Yeah. So when
took them into battle?
Yeah. So when do they come into specific nations? Also, how do they specifically, like, divide into four nations? Certainly, there's four elements, but that means multiple lion turtle cities combine into nations at some point. Because we heard that there's dozens of lion turtles. So
and that Juan makes a point to say different people have to start to get along.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact line, but it's something about that. And he doesn't mention element or, like, nation. He says different kinds of
people. Yeah, so do people all live together at first, like we're going towards Ancora, or are they instantly separated? We don't know.
Well, I feel like there's that separation anyway, because, like, they didn't, like, there's so many turtles and they're everywhere.
Yeah, I think it would take a while for those multiple turtles to come together.
Also, big question, is the lion turtle we saw in Avatar the only lion turtle left? What happened to the lion turtle?
Like, everybody killed them. That's what happened.
Well, I don't think you can.
Like, were they born? Are they immortal? Like, what's going on?
All these questions. I think the biggest mystery is what the heck is the deal with lion turtles? We have no idea.
Yes.
That's the biggest takeaway. Not the biggest takeaway. That's the biggest thing, uncertainty from this.
Another wait, hold on. Yes. Maybe?
Yes.
Actually, no, never mind. Okay. Never mind.
But, yeah, and then I think another one is, why? How does this connect to the origin of bending we heard in Avatar with this? And give us your thoughts on this. So then, Mrs. Shaman here has been raising a herd of her own air bison. They call it air bison. Air bison. Can we get, like, an official name? Air or sky bison? I don't know.
Yeah, like, come on.
Wind buffalo.
Wind buffalo.
Wind yeah. buffalo. Like it.
Harmonic convergence is only weeks away.
Oh, how convenient.
Must close the spirit
portal. Okay, confusion.
Then. Yeah,
We've been raising them since the Hundred Years' War. Does that mean, like, when they killed all the air nomads? Is this after the Hundred Years' War? Like, I'm really confused. Yeah. What were they talking about?
I'm pretty sure, like, really before, unclear. Like, since, like, the Hundred Year War started.
Cause
then, like,
yeah, because she said, like, I never thought I'd be presenting one to an avatar, but I'm just so confused, like.
So you're saying, I didn't interpret it this way, you're saying that this is the explanation of how there's still air bison after they all got killed off.
I guess
that,
so. It just, the line was so vague.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Actually, I wanted to say something, like, Allie brought up something earlier when we were talking, how these sky bison look more like the original series, like Appa and
yeah,
all them,
I agree.
Rather than Tenzin's.
Yeah.
So they're mean? Like maybe okay, it's like yeah. a Darwin's Finches thing happening with, like, you know, different
okay.
air bison have, like, different patterning and stuff. Like yeah. maybe the ones that Tenzin found are from, like, a different place. Like he just, like, stumbled upon them one day.
Well,
like how they explained. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
What about this place, kind of ties in talking about, like, the evolution, like, where is this place? Because she's talking about, I don't think, she's like, I never thought I'd present this to an avatar, but obviously she knew that things had changed, because she didn't, like, try and kill the avatar.
Yeah.
So I'm just really confused.
I don't know, lots of uncertainty.
Like, that part was just really, like, what?
I think Allie would bring up here, why does Korra get her own sky bison, in addition to...
Yeah, I mean,
you don't get two spirit animals.
Is that she was, technically, it seems now, like, that she's getting two spirit animals.
Will we see Korra's future bison in the future? Who knows?
But guys, no, listen,
what?
The sky bison has a broken horn. It's so cute.
Does it really?
I just want to hug it. Yeah, one of its horns is, like,
aww,
busted off. I just want to hug it and, like, love it. I want one.
We all want a sky bison, yes. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the end of the episode.
I actually have one, huh?
Allie has one.
I also
his
have
name
one.
Is Avatar.
But is its name Avatar?
Its name is not. Only Allie.
No, mine's is Appa, because it's Appa.
Mine's over on my bed.
Okay, so what I want to do here is I want to, we're going to talk more with the, before we start winding down, which pretty soon, I want you to grade Beginnings Part 2 and then grade them together. So, again, 5 is an average episode of television, 10 is the best episode ever out of 10. Let's start with Mel.
Certainly the episode, I would put it probably at maybe even close to an 8. I mean, I thought it was really good. Together, I definitely think I'd put them at an 8. I mean, I really think they were the best episode this season, and more on par with what I know these writers and this production crew is capable of. So
cool. Jeff?
I would say overall a 9. Yeah. No, this is a really good episode. Just really solid origin, you know? That's
cool.
What I got to say.
Yeah, I agree.
And once again, beautiful, beautiful animation.
Yeah. Sam.
I hate grading. Why do I have to do it?
Just pick numbers out of
the hat. It's fine. I'll just copy Mel again. I'll give this one. I do think that this part was better than the first. I'll give it an 8, and maybe I'll deviate a little bit. I'll give it like an 8.2 overall. Cool. So just Steve Young, like I appreciate him. So
yeah,
like, I appreciate better. Him. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Okay, yes. Let's continue. Delaney.
Well, for this episode, for part two, I'd have to give it an 8.5. I did like it a lot more than part one, but that doesn't like lessen how much I like part one. Because like they're it like and together I would give them a 9 because it's just I like you were talking about how you know this is like the best episode of Core ever. I definitely agree. It just blew me away, and you know, we were really expecting this, and we were like, season's gonna get so much better when we get here, it's gonna be so great, and it exceeded all my expectations, even that big build-up we had for it, like, I was just blown away. I loved every minute of it, and I really hope that we do get to see a bit more of Avatar 1. Like, I became rather attached to the character in 42 minutes. More attached than I am to Korra, which is sad, but maybe this is the turning point in the season.
Yeah. I disagree with you all giving them together a higher score than Beginnings Part 2. I think if Beginnings Part 2 is better, then it should be better than the overall combination, unless they, like, achieve something special when they're
I don't
together.
Agree with this.
Dylan.
It's hard to, like, separate them.
Sure.
As...
Anyway, my logic
yeah,
is...
For me, it's, like, the overall effect to me.
My
like,
logic is that the second part is the better one. Together, the first one weighs it down. Beginnings Part 2, I would give a 9 out of 10, which is extremely high for me. Very, very good. Maybe my enthusiasm will wane a little bit in the future, but for now, I just it was pretty incredible. And together, an 8.5. Certainly very good. Which is weighed much more towards Beginnings Part 2, because I think, in general, in storytelling, it's more important to stick the finish than it is if you can stumble a little bit in the beginning. But yeah. Beginnings Part 2, best episode of Korra. I really like the revelation. But they're certainly completely different episodes, but this is the quality I would love to see in the future from Korra, and I doubt we will be seeing again for a little bit, but because it's kind of hard to achieve this. So yeah, what I main thing I want to talk about here is we got a voicemail. We have the two old voicemails from last week, which we're not going to have time to do. We're already over 90 minutes. We got a voicemail from Felicity for this week. Thank
you. I thought you said that we were just going to do 2 hours.
Well, we're going to get to 2 hours regardless of whether we listen to three voicemails. Well, not like we'd go over two. Thank
well,
you,
what
Felicity,
did
for
they
sending.
Say?
Felicity liked the episode.
Sam, shush.
I think she questioned, I don't know, Courtney in her email, which I'm about to read. Questions the contradict the retcon stuff, but yeah, thank you, Felicity, for sending it. In the future, everyone, you increase your chances of getting the voicemail play on the podcast if you limit it to 30 seconds. Because, like, if it's 90 seconds, like, I know it's tempting to go that because it lets you go that long, but that's just such a significant portion of the podcast. But yeah, thank you, Felicity, for sending in. Courtney, in Avatar, they always talk about sky bisons, dragons, badger moles, and the moon being the first benders. I was confused how lion turtles got the power to give bending abilities to people unless they were able to get the knowledge of it from the original benders, from energy bending, and pass it on. Also, I think everyone can tell by now that Korra's uncle is just trying to set the dark spirit free. Yeah, that seems to be the takeaway. But yeah, the retcon stuff... It could be that originally people got bending from them, from the sources we saw in Avatar, then the lion turtles took it from them, and then they're regaining it here when we see an Avatar 1, or my thing is that there's no benders at the end or very few at the end of Beginnings, and then they relearn from the facade, maybe after something happens to the lion turtles.
Well, humanity seems, like, on a downswing, like, what we're seeing, like, with Wan and everything. Because, like, I mean, humanity, if you study history, like, there are cycles. Like the Roman Empire, Dark Ages, Middle Ages, it gets better. Like, there are cycles in human history, and I feel like we're on a downswing, which would kind of make sense if the Lion Turtles took it from them and they didn't know. Kind of like a
yeah,
Dark Age sort
like,
of period.
There's, like, multiple sources of bending, yeah.
Because it seems such a part of that world, like, it would make sense that it crops up over and over again.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it maybe doesn't. It's not the most satisfying thing logically to think of. But yeah, I think multiple times it appearing maybe makes sense. Jeff, if you're able to talk now, I know you had Jeff Theory 2.5 this week. Can you tell us a little bit about Jeff Theory 2.5?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry if I'm echoing. I'm driving. I have, like, minutes of battery power. So, yeah, Jeff 32.5. Basically, Varric discovered a way to inhibit either bending or spirit power, but he needs platinum, and he can only get it when he has controlling power of Future Industries.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, the hinging on platinum here. We haven't really seen this from the show. Like, I like this because it's kind of more far-fetched than the usual Jeff theory. Like, the usual Jeff theory is very logical, and, oh, this is what's going to happen. But it's interesting. Varric's role is pretty unclear after this two-parter. Because we start to see, okay, probably what Unalaq's going to do now is he's trying to get Cord open the two spirit portals because somehow he's being influenced, or maybe he's just evil, and he wants to let Vatu free.
But, like, on the other side of that, like, the harmonic convergence, if it when it happens and the Avatar's not there, does that mean that what's-his-face could come through anyway? Like, I know he closed it, but, I mean, he broke it through the first time anyway.
Well, he's sealed now at the end. Well, Juan seals Vatu away, so...
I'm just not all Unalaq's the villain. That's just me. But...
I guess what logically I'm trying to say is I think the show is presenting it as, even though it's the next harmonic convergence, unless Vatu is unsealed, then it won't matter. Yeah. Because he's, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, so here's the thing. At this point, my main thing is that next episode, what's going to happen, we don't have a summary yet, but I mean, I'll refresh right now to check, but Jenora and Korra are going to enter the spirit world somehow, no summary yet. And then that would be 209. In 210, the episode starts off, we saw in Comic-Con that they are already in the spirit world, and Jenora's like, oh, it's so pretty and stuff, and then Korra's like, be careful, and yeah, so...
She runs away.
Yeah, so basically the general thing is that we're running out of time in this season to introduce a new villain. I think it's going to be some combination of characters we've seen so far. It's like halfway through last season, Amon's not just going to be some random guy. Oh, he was some random guy. But ignoring that, I think the generally we're seeing here is some influence of Vatu, right? Because he needs to come back in the finale. Influencing at some point Unalaq or Varric. More likely Unalaq. We saw him enter the spirit world, or we see him come out of the spirit world. We see him trying to open the spirit portals. The connection's very clear. But then how does Varric come into play, I think, is the big variable. And is Unalaq, like, is he being possessed by Vatu? Is that possible? Vatu's sealed away. Is he being influenced, like in Adventure Time, like, being influenced by the Sith? Like, and you're in their presence and stuff?
Sith. I feel like your theory about
the Lich. Yeah.
Well, your theory about possession is kind of being, like, there's more weight to it now because of what we've seen now in this.
Yeah.
Because, like, now we know that spirits can't actually possess people.
Yeah. And we do know that. And
if you prepare yourself, like, I mean, if you become more than human like Juan did, then it won't kill you. So that could be the fit. Because that was the problem. That's the only problem is that it can kill you.
Yeah, if he's being possessed for a longer period of time. Yeah, I think that line wasn't... I think that inclusion in Beginnings Part 1 wasn't for nothing. Like, that's got to pay off, right? Because that was pretty random. The whole possession thing with... Tuck Tuck over here.
Talked about it being able to kill you like four times. Like everything was really repetitive. Like it's so obvious these things are coming back.
Yeah. So in some way, Unalaq's probably being possessed, or Eska and Desna. I actually think they're spirits. Like I'm back on the Dylan theory train.
I'm glad you're back on your own theory. That's good.
Yeah, it's good that I'm sticking by my guns after leaving for a little bit. But yeah, okay, so also at this point, more clues, like the season's starting to shape up. Only people that can be actual spirits, like, and not just being possessed by spirits, are people we don't know the backstory to. No one knew them when they were younger, we don't have any backstory. Desna and Esker are the primary subjects. Korra briefly mentions in episode 1, knowing them when they were younger, but not, we don't know how clear younger. And, Varric, I think, is the other candidate for being a spirit, because we don't know Varric's backstory.
I don't know. I think Varric is it's a material world, and he's a material girl. Let's just put it that way.
That's a great
that works for me.
That's how perfect. I feel.
Anyway, and then of course there's an episode called Harmonic Convergence, So we'll be seeing harmonica. But
why do they have to do that?
Interestingly, it is before the finale. The finale is not called Harmonic Convergence. The episode before the finale is. So
strange.
Or is it Harmonic Convergence, then Night of a Thousand Stars, or is it Night of a Thousand Stars, then Harmonic Convergence?
Night of a Thousand Stars is first, I thought, because we were like, Night of a Thousand Stars, that's going to be awesome. And then we were like, Harmonic Convergence,
I like Harmonic Convergence.
I like it now, because now I know what it is, but I still like a Night of a Thousand Stars. That just sounds awesome.
Yeah, and how does Night of a Thousand Stars play in? Harmonic Convergence is indeed the episode before the finale. So, yeah, so maybe it's like a three-part finale, though. We don't know. That'd be interesting.
That would be insane.
That would also take Korra off the week before Thanksgiving, but we don't know. So, yeah, Tenzin, and then, of course, the Tenzin and family stuff has to come to fruition. Jinora and Korra in the spirit world have to see Wan Chi Tong, have to do spirit world shenanigans.
The spirit bunny!
Yeah, the spirit bunny. Can't forget about the spirit bunny.
Jinora has to ride a spirit bunny thing.
I feel like before this two-parter, we were all pretty certain what was going to happen in the season, and now everything's up in the air. Yeah. Like, now we're like, I don't know. But we still have general ideas. Like, new ideas have been introduced. Like, obviously, Vatu's going to be in it and all that stuff. But, like, I don't know. Like, stuff we were certain about is kind of up in the air.
I don't really think this contradicted any previous, like...
Well, I don't mean contradicted. I just mean, like, now because they've thrown so much information at us, it's like, no, what?
Yeah, well, there's certainly more to resolve, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I meant. Like, it's more of, like, there's so much stuff now, we're like, what are they going to focus on?
Yeah, it's pretty unclear how they're... But at the same time, more things means we can start focusing in on those things, meaning they're not going to introduce new things. So, like, we kind of know where it's going.
Now that everything's on the table.
But at the same time, like, is the finale going to be some epic face-off? Like, 2.0, Rava versus Vatu.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be more localized with just Korra against...
Is
and also,
Murloc
I think,
going to be the Dark Avatar?
Because, like,
so
before,
that's, okay,
it
so
was...
Yeah, that's another thing we talked about. If Unalaq is possessed by Vatu...
It's anti-Avatar.
So then he could be like become like an anti-Avatar, because Rava is like the Avatar spirit, and that's kind of how Cape... the new Avatar now is capable of bending all four elements. So
how does that even happen? The anti-Avatar.
So he'd like go around to lion turtles, have like maybe.
Well, it could tie into like the apocalyptic stuff. How this is the end of the world if we have an Avatar and the anti-Avatar.
The anti-Avatar would be awesome. Can we just have that?
I mean, that would be.
But like at the same time, I don't want Unalaq to be the anti-Avatar.
Like,
since
everyone's
not
even look like.
What?
Sam.
What?
Never mind, keep talking.
Oh, what were
you... Nothing,
you just
don't worry about it.
I don't know, never mind.
Anyway,
but
yeah.
Like,
oh, and
I just
course,
feel like...
Yes.
Well, I was just gonna, like, I just feel like, before, like, kind of what I was going back to, like, what I said earlier was just, like, before we were like, it's gonna be Varric, Unalaq, there's gonna be, it's more gonna be secular and all this stuff, and now it's like, oh my god, this might be, like, the battle for humanity part two, like, craziness. Like, I feel like now there's, like, this tone, there's this aspect of epicness, and, like, how it's gonna be, like, this is gonna be a big deal, like, in comparison to, like, the season one finale, where it was, like, just Republic City, and now we're dealing with the state of the world, of two worlds, the spirit world and the physical world, and, like, how it ties into, like, the history of the Avatar world. Like, I just feel like now there's a whole new tone to it.
No,
that's just nuts.
No person who reblogged my thing on Tumblr, Serena Williams wasn't in episodes other than Day of Black Sun Part 1. Anyway, that is factually incorrect. But yeah, so there's other factors in the season that we have to, see resolved. Unalaq and the Civil War. I'm afraid they're just gonna, like, not talk about this again, the Civil War, and it'll just seem like the most pointless, dumb plot.
Like, line. It was just a device for a moment.
And it was just like, oh, here's the plot for half the season, which would be dumb, and I hope... I also think no matter what they do, that plot's gonna seem ridiculous in hindsight.
Yeah, I do agree.
Season.
Well, like, you can't have all these, like, or they'll be like, it's like a parallel. No, it's not.
Yeah, not really.
Like,
also... Brian on that IGN interview again. That was a very good interview with whoever, I forget her name, who moderated it. Dudes ask, Korra's been criticized for being pretty unlikable this season, and Brian was like, "Yeah, I read the scripts in book part one of book two, and yeah, I asked the same question. Why is Korra so unlikable?" And then it's like he's like, "It's part of her overall arc this season, though. Like, you need to like see her like be bad, like have something in order for her to grow at the end. So we need to see this Korra arc start to happen, which this episode was part of it. But like, we need to see how that's going to affect her."
Well, well, yeah, it's pretty easy. You know, you should just destroy her memory, and then you show her someone epic like Juan, and be like, "Hey, that's me. I can be like that."
Presumably, she gets the rest of her memories back. I'd love it if she like just forgets being with Mako
and
now,
just
and
becomes
and just like Makora is dead. Yeah,
that'd be the greatest thing ever. Brilliant. Along with the anti-avatar, those two things
and,
have to,
and
have
she,
to happen.
And then she sees Asami, and she's like, wow, that she's pretty. We should be together.
Oh my god, please, yes. Yeah,
that's just going to happen.
That is
right,
what's
going to
happen. Korra's just going to have complete amnesia. Yeah, exactly.
No, I would be okay if Korra just decides that her and Asami are going to be best friends forever. That'd be okay, too.
Yeah, she doesn't even meet Mako again. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, like, Mako's not a part of her life, and she doesn't know that, yeah.
Like, she just spends every waking moment with Asami. I will be happy if they date. Yeah. I will be happy if they're best friends. It doesn't matter as long as they're together.
I mean, best friends dating, you know, that's the best scenario.
That is the best, anyway. Yes, I agree.
And we have to see, like I said, Tenzin and family do stuff. We haven't seen Tenzin in a while.
And I feel like we need a resolution to the whole Aang thing, but I feel like they're not going to talk about that
anymore.
Yeah,
so, like, I thought in the beginning of the season they might have been hooking us on Aang having a major role. I'm not so sure anymore, but we'll see. And also,
Aang being in her little memory goop does not count.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they might have meant when he's around. Like, he's in that one scene.
And they totally lied.
D.B. Sweeney did get a line, so, you know, I guess that counts. But another thing is that Mike and Brian previously in interviews talked about spirits and the technological progression clashing, and we haven't really seen any of that yet. So I don't know how any of this relates to spirit. If the spirit conflicting, this is unrelated to technological progression in the Avatar world.
In fact, the Avatar 1 stuff actually completely takes away from that, because now we're like, there's this dark spirit, and he's the reason all this stuff happens.
Yeah, so then, like, they're not even upset. The spirit world's not even upset because of technology. It's upset
because
there's just a dark force.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Varric is going to be playing into this.
Yeah, like, I really hope that's where they go with Varric here. Because we need to see that, or else a lot of...
I want
to
see him bad-mouthing some spirits. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, is Varric going to be pro or con spirit? As a businessman, you'd think he'd be, like, against. But if he's evil, you know, the evil side.
I just want a flippant remark. I don't really care which side he's on. I want a flippant remark toward the spirits. I want him and I to get into, like, an argument. You know, think about how epic that would be. Like, that'd be the best argument ever.
Yeah.
You know, I got... Like I said before, I think he's gonna be playing Tarlok's role in this. You know, he's a villain, but he's also against the main baddie.
Yeah,
you know,
that makes sense.
You didn't actually see that in the podcast, but yeah, him being in like the Tarlok-y type role would make sense. So that means he's just gonna blow up himself in Unalaq, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or he'll just get sealed inside the spirit world.
Yeah, he'll get
seen. That's exactly what's going to happen. Unalaq's just going to get...
I guess my biggest fear is that, not my biggest fear, but, like, a fear of this season is that Unalaq turns out to be the big bad. Like, he's the one who's being possessed by, I keep checking to see what his name is, Vatu. And, you know, but the problem with that is...
I keep forgetting his name, too.
The problem is that Varric is this way more interesting villain to me. Like, I don't care that much about Unalaq.
And he's more involved than Unalaq has been, like, this far in the season. Like, we've seen a lot more Varric than we have Unalaq.
Yeah, and also just John Michael Higgins, like, great. So, like, I want to see Varric at the end. I don't want to see Varric fade off into the sunset, like, you know, not violently, like Tarlok did, yeah. So we'll see, I guess. There's your relevant plot factors. Post some more if we forgot. We'll see where we go 2 weeks from now in the guide. But yeah, any last thoughts on beginnings?
Welcome back, Studio Mirror.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, like I did say in the beginning, I do, like, I want to see what the competition is for greatest, feat of American animation, although this is South Korean animation, you know, but like, American animation that is shown in America, you know, like,
yeah.
That's the, I mean, certainly Pixar is still leading in animation actually made in America, but, like, this was just incredible. Like, I really want to, I would watch it multiple times just for, like, the animation.
Like, when we were first getting shots of it, I was like, I'm not gonna like this, I don't understand why they're doing this, and now that I've seen the whole episode, I'm like, oh my god, I hate myself, why did I think that, this is beautiful, and I love every minute of it. I want to go back in time and, like, smack myself, because it's so beautiful, and it makes a lot of sense, and it just, because I didn't even consider, like, the whole history versus past, like, the history versus mythology thing. I'm just really hoping this is the turning point in the season, because if not, the next episode's gonna be like, ugh.
I mean, like, the next two episodes, we get to see Korra and Jenora and Spirit World Shenanigans. So.
Just having Jenora
here.
How
bad can it be? Yeah, like,
correct.
Jenora's
and she's
there.
Already good spirit buddy, let's be fair.
Yeah, like, that episode's already at least an 8 out of 10. Like,
okay, fair enough, fair enough. Just because we have Jenora. And if we have Jenora and Wan Chi Tong, it'll be like an 11.
Yeah. I assume that all will be 210. All of that stuff. Wan Chi Tong, Jenora, Spirit Bunny, all of that's 210, which I'm super looking forward to that episode now. A new spiritual age.
Do you know
age.
That title?
A new spiritual age, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, so I guess I kind of recant what I said. I don't know. Like, I'm just, like, I feel like it is going to be the turning point, but I'm also afraid of, like, aside from the things we already know are going to happen, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm kind of afraid that's going to be here.
Aside from what we know is going to happen.
I hate it.
Okay. That title actually makes me excited for, like, if they're going to actually do something world-changing.
Yeah.
A new spiritual age, bring spirits back, you know?
Ooh,
wow.
Yeah.
That'd be so
cool. Will Korra
yeah.
and Jenora, like, reintroduce? Ooh, that would be super cool.
That'd
okay.
be so awesome, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully
no,
we'll
I'm
get,
excited. Thanks,
hopefully
Jeff.
We'll get summary soon. Anyway, yeah, good job, Jeff, with that. Thanks, guys, for listening. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Sam Mill, Jeff Delaney. I host, produced, and edit the podcast. Technical Directors, AJ, Kevin, Jeff. Musical credits, the Yoshida Brothers, Jeremy Zuckerman, and Luke Tripp. Logo and banner by Kevin. Dong Wufeng is owned by Jeff. Jake, not Jeff.
You've been promoted, Jeff.
Yeah, and Gareth contributed to the podcast. Thank
G-Man!
You,
G-Man!
Yeah,
did he say anything?
No, he didn't write back. I don't...
G-Man.
I assume that means he likes Gareth. No, not G-Man. Oh, if you G-Man. Enjoyed today's podcast, consider donating to From the Spirit World. All donations...
We can give you a cool nickname.
Yeah, we can, exactly. All yes. donations... You can donate any amount of money is welcome. All donations go directly to supporting
sense.
The podcast. I mean, if you want to. You can donate by going to dongwufeng.net/podcast and clicking donate at the top of the podcast page. There you can pay by PayPal, bank account, credit card, whatever.
Wait, if I donate... Will my name be said in the credits twice?
I will call you.
May
Sam.
Not like
I will call
nickname.
You the nickname I you gave me permission
no.
to call you now.
I'll kill you.
Okay. Anyway, podcast.
You can probably also permission. Indirectly donate by clicking on the Amazon link on our homepage and buying something.
Yes. Well, that donates to Jake. But yes.
Yeah.
That's good too because that helps pay our hosting fees. Points. Yeah.
I fed my Neopets. By the way, they're not dying anymore.
Wait, when's the last time you
no,
checked
here's
on
the thing
Neopets?
About Neopets. They don't die if you don't feed them.
They
just
live in
my bones forever. They starve forever, but they don't
yeah.
die. So awful.
That's
so
really...
feed your Neopets, people.
They just
last
have
week
they
when
have
I mentioned
eternal Neopets. Suffering if you forget about them, yeah.
I fed my Neopets because
yeah.
I felt bad.
Good job.
Like, at least Tamagotchis die, but Neopets just live forever in agony.
Just suffer.
If you want to learn more about us, you can view podcast bios on the
podcast
page.
Ah, bio!
Page.
I keep getting the fix
yeah,
now.
You say that.
I
yeah,
should
you
pull
say
my
that
Neopets
actually
account.
Every week.
Maybe if I actually listened to the podcast, I'd hear myself
yeah,
reminding
exactly.
myself.
Yeah, Sam, you should link
it.
To your Neopets account from your bio.
Yep, I'll give you that link.
dongwufeng.net/podcast. You can click on bios at podcast bios at the top. And give us your comments on this podcast and any other podcast and the episode by registering an account on the dongwufeng forums. It's pretty easy. dongwufeng.net/forums.
Keep with the puns, people. Let's go.
You need
yeah,
to like
pretty strong
revamp
puns,
the theme.
Yeah, the theme's pretty... We have a really old PHBBB.
Kind of bad.
But anyway, we've been having some really good discussion. You guys should join us on the forums. Not a big deal, even if you don't go on forums regularly.
But
it's not intimidating. You go to the Legend of Korra forum, and you go to the From the Spirit World podcast forum, and the threads are pretty obvious, the ones at the top, which you should, you know, comment on. So, yeah, good discussion there. Come join us. Email Dylan Dongfeng at Tumblr. That wasn't a real word. Tumblr and Twitter at Dongwufeng. Follow us on Tumblr especially. And send us voicemail and try to keep it to 30 seconds. Thank you guys for listening. We're about 2 hours here.
What are we doing next week?
Next week, there will be a podcast up at some point. It will either be on The Search Part 3, which is not out yet and is not online yet, or if it's not, we'll probably be doing the Heteronormativity podcast, which will be about sexual orientation and gender norms in the Avatar world.
Norms.
Yeah. So
norms.
That would some of you would be looking for maybe one of you want the other one, maybe you want the other. The it's not like I want one topic more than the other, but the search part three is time relevant, so it has priority if it's out. But if not, we will be doing the other one, which
it doesn't
is not
come out until like the 30th, is what I saw on Amazon.
Yeah, but
they've been
previous
leaking.
Times they've been leaked very early. Like relative to when they've come out, it should be out already.
Wait, so didn't it already leak? Don't we already? No, that was spoiled everything.
Yeah, it was just a description spoiling it, sad.
But, oh, yeah. By the way, the Rift summary came out.
Oh, yeah, the Rift summary is out. It involves Avatar Yang Chen, and it's really weird. I don't know.
What do you mean, weird?
Yeah. I just don't care. Yeah. I just don't.
Well, she's like the Avatar we released about, and she's kind of scary looking.
In summary,
she's the new Kyoshi.
Yeah, exactly. She is kind of Kyoshi, though. She also,
but like, but Kyoshi's like, she can't be another Kyoshi. Kyoshi's like Kyoshi, and she's awesome, and we love her.
Yes, okay. But yeah,
bathe in the blood.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Look for the podcast next week. Oh yeah, and review us on iTunes. Hooray.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the person who said they want more Hot Pockets, tell that to Allie.
Tell that to Allie.
Yeah, Allie's the one who makes that difficult.
I mean, Mel, who you guys recorded like Hot Pockets segments. You just
didn't. Yeah, well, they're all gone now with my old.
Oh yeah, they are.
Are they actually just gone?
Oh, yeah, I have an entirely new hard
drive. Dude, you should have sent.
You should have backed them up.
I'm sorry that I didn't foresee my computer just crapping out in the middle of the day while I was typing in Word.
I can't talk because I don't regularly back up my files. Yeah. But you're supposed to.
I want Hot Pockets so bad.
I asked them this.
So the Hot Pockets are gone. Congratulations, guys.
No, they'll never die.
Allie will come back on a podcast at some point. It's not like my lack of trying for getting Allie on. She just is choosing things over.
I'd like to point out that I talked to her on Skype, on call during this episode, and she vanished as soon as the episode was over.
Oh.
She was like, okay, I gotta go.
Yeah.
So.
Unacceptable.
Avatar, such a Suki.
Cora, such a... I don't know if you can say that, but yeah, I agree.
Just because I heard it all the time, it was just so funny.
She gets so offended.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Oh god, I'm gonna get like hate messages from Allie. Yay!
Wait, what are we gonna end on now?
She doesn't even listen
to me. Air defying gravity.
Yes, I totally agree with that one.
I can't sing, so I'm just gonna like say it. Okay. He sang it. Yeah, I can't. I mean,
Mel's gonna like kick me. I don't remember the melody.
Thanks for listening, guys. 1, 2, 3. Air defying gravity.
Air defying gravity.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
He'll never bring me down.